Pittsburgh.
I haven't been to Sandcastle in so long. I went when it was first opened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you used to go there to like booze. Wasn't it like a nightclub?
Yeah, eventually. Yeah, Club Wet. It was the trashiest bar in town.
Dude, I would love to see some video of that.
Oh, my Lord. It was, it was trashy as all hell. Every dirtbag in the city was there.
Oh, dude, that's bad, man.
Oh,
that sounds like a hilarious advertising like slogan. Come on down. Every dirtbag in town will be there.
A lot of gold chains and cower sweaters. Come on down. Get a Miami Vice daiquiri. It's probably going to be a fist fight.
Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show.
It's 4 minutes after 6 at DVE. Here is the Channel 11 Severe Weather Center at 4.
On Severe Weather Center 11.
It's 38 degrees now at DVE. I'm Val Porter. More people could be getting a COVID booster before Thanksgiving. The FDA is expected to sign off as early as tomorrow for all adults. CDC advisors will then meet Friday to consider doing the same. But not everyone is waiting for approval. Arkansas, California, Colorado, New Mexico, Rhode Island, and New York City already expanded the shots. I believe West Virginia has as well. This comes amid a surge in cases and hospitalizations. The Pennsylvania House of Representatives has passed a bill that does away with permits to carry a concealed weapon. House Bill 565 passed Tuesday night by a 107-92 vote margin. It now heads to the governor's desk to be signed into law, but Governor Tom Wolf has said he will veto that. Many Western Pennsylvania motorists might swear they are the exception to the findings of new survey out this week. The consumer financial website Bankrate has found that Pennsylvania drivers rank 43rd in the nation in terms of driver quality. The numbers come as part of the site's look into the best and worst states for driving. Driver quality, gas prices, insurance prices, and seatbelt usage were among the factors considered in compiling the list. Overall, Pennsylvania rated as the 32nd best state in the nation for drivers. That's one spot behind Georgia and one ahead of Montana. Well, are cats and dogs smart enough to know when you've been lying to them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
80% of pet owners in a new poll said they feel guilty if they lie to their pets, and 70% think their pets know when they've been lied to. 43% of us sometimes lie to our pets about why it's time to stop playing or go home after a walk. 38% have also lied to their dog and said something like, "Let's go to the park." And they were actually going to the vet.
Oh, that's
cruel.
Yeah,
that's a big trick. 80% rather of pet owners think their pet has intentionally guilt tripped them before or used guilt to their advantage in some way. Of course, they give you those puppy eyes. When we feel guilty for lying, the top ways we make up for it are giving them extra treats, more attention or belly rubs, and extra playtime. A third of pet owners would even spend over $50 to get back into their pet's good graces. Most people think their pets also feel guilty for stuff they've done. The top things pets appear to feel shame for are chewing or scratching stuff, breaking things, and peeing or pooping somewhere they shouldn't have.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if you flip out about it, right?
Well, yes. That might be fear.
Do you think that, like, I don't know why I've always just assumed that dogs have no memory, but obviously they do. But each moment to me with a dog, it's like a constantly disappearing sidewalk. Like, they forget what just happened for whatever's going on in that moment is, like, the thing that they're most excited or crazy about.
Right. They have no long-term memory.
Right. Like, they're not like, "Hey, remember that time 3 months ago when we were outside and then you took a phone call and we just stopped playing out of nowhere? That was not cool."
A Kraft turkey ice cream is apparently a big hit in San Francisco. The lines are long at the Salt and Straw shops. Fans of the Portland-based ice cream maker are placing orders for the caramelized turkey and cranberry sauce, which has turkey bacon in the buttery brittle with thyme and pepper. The limited Thanksgiving flavors also include Parker House rolls with salted buttercream, Sweet potato pie with double baked almond streusel and pumpkin and ginger snap pie. That sounds good.
Yeah, that sounds real good.
I don't know about the turkey one, but. Well, streaming has skyrocketed over the past few years, but is it losing its appeal with so many different services and so many subscriptions that go with those services? Some people are rethinking all the streaming. In fact, a new survey found 44% plan to cancel at least one of their streaming services due to the cost.
Yeah.
Which, how many can you watch?
I mean, honestly, there's so many subscriptions that I have that I just don't watch any of it. I know that there's an app. There's an app that you can download to see what streaming services you have, because I don't even know them all, I don't think.
Randy's always asking me some show that I do you watch this show? No, because I don't subscribe to Hulu or Paramount Plus.
I don't have Apple Plus. Yeah.
I have Netflix and Apple Plus and Peacock. I don't need any. I don't even watch all.
Like, it was both.
Oh, is it free? I thought I got it for a one.
You could sign up for like premium Peacock.
Okay.
But they gave you a base level free.
Oh, because that's probably the one that I have because it has a ton of commercials still in it.
Yeah.
That's what they do now. Like, they tease you with it and they go like, look at all this stuff we got on here. You know, you could get it without all the commercials and annoying stuff we put into it.
Right. It's like the YouTube.
Like, you sure you don't want to just pay to not see the ads, you know?
But I don't have time to watch all the stuff on the ones I have. So,
well, the annoying thing is that it's sort of like just in the way that our viewing now is piecemeal. Like, we are making our choices for television separately. Like, we're not watching shows live. Yeah. Everything is a la carte. It doesn't make it's none of them are on the same service. Like, it's not like every show I want to watch is on Netflix. There's one on Netflix, there's one on Hulu.
That's what cable's banking on. That people don't like to have to bounce back and forth between servers or different apps or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's centrally located. Then they make you pay for a bazillion channels you don't want.
Yep.
I started watching The Morning Show Season 2, Val, just because I haven't watched anything on Apple Plus. And I'm like, well, I got to get my money's worth out of this thing. So let me see what this is.
As soon as you cancel that subscription, a show that you really want to watch will come on to it.
Yeah.
That's the rule.
Well, the Disney one is the one I regret because I was like, oh, it's only $60 if you get the whole year right now instead of trying it for a month.
Yeah.
I'll do that. And then I watched The Mandalorian and never watched anything else. I watched like a couple of movies from when I was a kid, Disney movies like Gus, you know, the field goal kicking mule.
Donkey.
Yeah, that was a great one. And Apple Dumpling Gang. And I watched Darby whatever and the Little People. The Sean Connery one where he's like gets through.
I don't know that one.
It's like kind of like Gulliver's Travels, but it's like this Irish tale, and it's Sean Connery's first movie.
Wow.
I think
you
it's called Darby.
All the corners of Disney Plus that I have not watched because, I mean, they have all the Marvel movies.
I didn't watch any
Disney
Marvel
movies.
Watch none of them.
All the Pixar.
I did watch Soul.
Great movie.
And I watched, what's the one about the Mexican one, the Day of the Dead one?
Oh,
Coco.
Yeah, Coco.
I love that one. I think that might be my favorite of all the Pixars, music-wise.
It's pretty fun.
It was incredible. Mm-hmm. But after that, I haven't turned it back on.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
one I love because of the kids. But
Season 2 of The Morning Show. I watched one episode and stopped.
That's it. I watched one episode and stopped a long time ago, so I watched the second episode last night. It got marginally more interesting. It's just full of big stars. That's the only thing that keeps me watching. And
the first season was tremendous.
I agree. But in the end of the first episode, it's like New Year's Eve 2020, and the ball drops. You know, they're doing the New Year's Eve thing in Times Square. The ball drops, and it's like really corny. Like, the head of the network is like looking up at the ticker, and he sees that his network is in trouble, and then a woman sneezes behind him like, uh-oh. Coronavirus, you know.
Oh,
here we go.
Oh no, hep you.
Yeah, it's just a little heavy-handed.
Bon Jovi co-founder Richie Sambora says His role in the band was ultimately to shut up. Sambora was a core piece of Bon Jovi's songwriting unit when the band formed in 1983. But he says over the years, as John's star rose higher and higher, his input was reduced to that of a sideman. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame guitarist told Nile Rodgers in a recent conversation that the band's camaraderie was very, very deep in the early days. As the years went on, whether it was by design or by accident, John became more separate from the rest of the collective.
That's how it goes.
I guess so, yeah.
You know?
And finally, Eric Clapton's opening act says he dropped out of his U.S. tour because of Clapton's anti-vaccine position. The Washington Post says blues legend Robert Cray got in a heated email exchange with Clapton over his recent song, Stand and Deliver, in which Clapton compared COVID-19 lockdowns to slavery. Cray said he then decided to pull out of the tour and called Clapton's views extreme and selfish. Eric Clapton did 8 shows in the U.S. last September. His new album, Lady in the Balcony, is out now.
I read that article in the New York Times. It's pretty crazy. Like, Robert Cray is friends with him for 30 years and won't talk to him now. Something must have happened in that email exchange beyond, like, them disagreeing about vaccines. And Jim Keltner, famous session drummer, the guy, you know, he did George Harrison's albums, he was Mad Dogs and Englishmen, and you know, he did so many awesome projects through the years. He's like, man, I just think that Eric doesn't understand at all, because Clapton's like, nobody will talk to me anymore, I have no friends anymore. I don't get it. Robert Cray was really upset because he saw a picture of Eric Clapton with Jimmy Vaughn and the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, who has some fairly extreme political viewpoints. And he said they were posing the exact same way they posed for a picture with B.B. King 2 years ago, or whenever he died, you know, the last Crossroads. And to him, he couldn't reconcile that juxtaposition. So, like, it was more than just his stance on coronavirus for Robert Cray. It, like, went deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And he started to think about all the racial stuff, you know, all of the accusations, not accusations, just, you know, it's
all
the
stuff Clapton said.
He actually said, yeah, a lot of terrible things in concert years ago. Like
here, right?
No, it was in England, and it was like, keep him. He got drunk and berated fans here on that tour in which he was just in no shape to be in public.
Syria Mosque, or where was it?
I'm not sure. It might have been the igloo, but. The one in the UK, he was basically like, keep Britain white, get all the Jamaicans out of here, and, you know, send everyone back to Africa. And, you know, this is a guy who was
unbelievable.
You can look it up if you want to see the exact quote. I mean, it's fairly well documented. But he explained that away by saying he was, you know, deeply involved in drugs at the time. He was a heroin addict. He was a massive alcoholic, and he just wasn't himself. And a lot of people were trying to come to his defense for that. Like Billy Preston, when Billy Preston died, Eric Clapton flew from England to Phoenix, Arizona to be there on Billy Preston's deathbed. And every time I hear the word deathbed, I think of the Norm Macdonald joke. I've been thinking a lot about my deathbed lately. Yeah, what are you thinking? I've been thinking I shouldn't have bought a deathbed. but he went and was like kissing Billy Preston, you know, on the forehead and, you know, tucking him in and stuff. And a lot of people are like, you know, a racist wouldn't do that. And so I think Robert Cray's problem with Clapton goes a little deeper than just COVID. And it was a bunch of things at once. And he was like, that's it. But I would love to see what that email says, because it really pissed off Robert Cray. The New York Times is where you, or is it the Washington Post?
Well, this story says Washington Post.
It's the Washington Post, yeah. All right, yeah. It was, I think, Sunday I read that. But anyways, it's a pretty good read if you want to go check it out.
Forecast today, breezy, cloudy, temperatures a little warmer in the mid-60s today. It's 39 at DVE.
All right, on the way for you this morning, Bills missed tackles, stories you may have missed over the weekend in the NFL. Also, Paul Staggerwald joins us to talk about the imminent sale of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Mario selling the team to the Fenway Sports Group.
What?
DVE Mario will be with us later as well to confirm or refute those reports. Mark Caboli from The Athletic. Talking Steelers, Mark Madden in the 9 o'clock hour. And, you know, if we're talking about all those different streaming platforms,
It's just sad to think of all the shows that I have watched. Once you start listening them, man, it's like, God, spent a lot of time in front of the tube.
I was riding out the pandemic just a scrolling on my phone. When along came my girl, plopped down with the remote. She said, why don't we pick a show that we can binge? We'll have a ball. And I said, well, we can try, but I've seen most of them all. She asked if there was anything that I was wanting to see. And I said, listen, I binged every show there is to stream. I binged every show, man. I binged every show, man. Netflix, HBO, man. Amazon Prime Video, man. Wi-Fi can't run slow, man. I binged every show. I watched Peaky Blinders, Ozark, Tiger King, Stranger Things, Mindhunter, Russian Doll, The OA, The Good Place, Better Call Saul, Glow, Dishes, Creek, Sopranos, Cobra Kai, Search Party, Black Beer, Game of Thrones, The End of the Effin' World, Easy Godless, Community, Bridgerton, Parks and Rec, what the heck? I binged every show, man. I binged every show, man. Netflix, HBO, man. Amazon Prime Video, man. Papa Gummy and off we go, man. I binged every show. I watch Marvelous, Mrs. Maisel, Evil Genius, House of Cards, Fuller House, Band of Brothers, Hated How I Met Your Mother, Queer Eye, BoJack, Horseman, Mad Men, Riverdale, Twin Peaks, Yellowstone, Dead to Me, Big Mouth, The Office, American Vandal, God help me, damn it, I love Queen's Gambit. I binged every show, man. I binged every show, man. Netflix, HBO, man. Amazon Prime Video, man. Always skip the intro, man. I binged every show. I binged Fargo, 30 Rock, Westworld, The Blacklist, Dexter, Lucifer, South Park, True Detective, Chernobyl, Homeland, Deadwood, The Crown's Good, Scrubs, Weeds, The Wire, Boardwalk Empire, Freaks and Geeks, Bones, Pretty Little Liars, Umbrella Academy, didn't do much for me. I binged every show, man. I binged every show, man. Netflix, HBO, man. Amazon Prime Video, man. Are you still watching? Of course I am. I binged every show.
Well, it feels like I did anyways. It's the DVE Morning Show on the way for you. Mike Persuda, he'll have your sports when we return. The Penguins situation, very strange right now. Strange goings on in Penguin Land. Mike will have the results of last night's game. Penguins in these advanced talks with the Fenway Sports Group has a lot of people wondering, what does this mean?
Yeah, what does this mean for the team?
What does this mean for the team?
Are we moving to Boston?
Penguins struggling right now. I wouldn't say free fall, but we're hitting a lot of branches on the way down. Bud Light Game Day Bar of the Week, the Borough, and Punxsutawney. Downtown Punxsutawney. Not on the outskirts of Punxsutawney.
Right there in the city.
Yeah, the one in downtown location. $3 Bud Light drafts during all Steeler games. Bud Light.
Fading locations.
DVE Sports.
Mike Pasuda with your sports now on the DVE Morning Show. Mike.
Sports is brought to you by Bridgeville Appliance. If you want to attend Penguins games in the near future, you may have to start packing the car in the yard. The Fenway Sports Group, according to the Wall Street Journal, in advanced talks to purchase the Pittsburgh Penguins from Ron Burkle and Mario Lemieux. NHL's Board of Governors would have to approve any potential sale. That Fenway Sports Group is headed by billionaire John Henry, and it includes, among its assets, the Boston Red Sox, Liverpool in England's Premier League. That's a soccer team. Roush Fenway Racing in NASCAR. And one of the investors is LeBron James.
So, about it?
LeBron James.
Maybe LeBron can add his 2 cents to the power play and what the hell's going on there. Reportedly, Mario Lemieux would retain a minority stake in the team if the sale goes through.
Well, that's essential.
I guess they think it's essential. And
I think it needs to be.
Probably for the popularity of the team to maintain the profound popularity it has in its home market here. I think Mario's got to at least be associated. His name's got to be out there and got to keep showing those pictures of him in the suite, drinking the wine while the games are going on. I think what this tells us is a couple of things. The pandemic slaughtered the NHL, which is a league that needs ticket revenue.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It doesn't have the TV contracts that the other major sports have. And I imagine a lot of NHL teams have horrific bottom lines coming out of last year. And I think it also tells you that Mario Lemieux and Ron Burkle can see the writing on the wall that the Penguins are not probably going to win another cup in the Crosby era or two of the next five or anything of that nature. The stars are fading. They are expensive. And they are just getting started on what's going to need to be a pretty significant rebuild.
I don't disagree that that is true about the rebuild, stars fading, et cetera. But I think they've been waiting for the right opportunity to get their money. Maybe not Burkle as much, but Mario, you know, he was ready to cash in. It's been a long time since he's been carrying around, yeah, I own a hockey team, but you can't buy groceries with that.
Yeah, and he did this initially not, you know, to be an owner of a hockey team, but to get what he had coming.
That's what I mean. How he needed to get it. I'm not suggesting he's poor or hurting. I'm saying these guys want their money.
Right. And, you know, this was they owed the Penguins owed Mario a tremendous amount of money, and they went bankrupt. And he got what he could get and turned it into something pretty special. And I think he liked winning cups as much as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But might be a while till the next one. Although the game last night, Penguins played really well, but didn't win. In fact, they lost 2-1 to the Buffalo Sabres at the PPG Paints Arena. Pens outshot the Sabres 46-19, including 20-3 in the third period. They out attempted the Sabres 74-31. Now think about that for a minute. That means the Penguins fired a shot at the net more than once a minute. And Buffalo managed one every 2 minutes. And the Penguins still lost the game. Jake Guentzel's power play goal at 5:59 of the third period, the only instance in which the Pens were able to dent Sabres goaltender Dustin Tokarski. That at least snapped an 0-for-28 Schneid on the power play, but the Penguins buzzed and fired and crashed the net and did everything you want to see them do except score another goal. The third period looked like a power play for 20 minutes. Chris Letang got a penalty with less than 2 minutes left. They ended up pulling the goalie to even it up at 5-5, and it still looked like a power play. And just one of those nights. Penguins fall to 5-6-4. They have lost 3 in a row, and now they play 9 of their next 11 on the road, beginning Thursday night in Montreal.
Great road trip game for Penguin fans. Are we allowed in Canada? I think we are.
I don't think so.
Not yet.
No?
No.
All right, well, never mind.
Still got the doors locked.
Definitely not if you had the virus recently. Longer quarantine and whatnot.
When I was out in Arizona earlier this year, I met a few Canadians that couldn't get back into Canada because they had come into the U.S. They're like, the restrictions in Canada are absurd. You think it's tough here?
Yeah.
They're on lockdown.
We can learn from Canada.
Let's not even go there.
That open border thing's overrated.
You know it's bad when Mike says we can learn things from Canada.
Yeah.
Mike Tomlin meeting the media yesterday, as he does on Tuesdays. We'll give you a quick rundown of the potential availabilities for the Steelers' trip to Los Angeles to meet the Chargers on Sunday. All these phrases and characterizations are according to Tomlin. They're excited about Chase Claypool practicing today. Kevin Dotson's going to have an opportunity, but they don't know where that will lead in terms of participation in practice.
That's surprising.
Trey Turner is going to show up, and the light will be left on for TJ Watt. As for the COVID guys, Ben Roethlisberger has an opportunity, and it's not anticipated Minkah Fitzpatrick is going to play. Mike Tomlin saying yesterday that the game plan is going to be built around Mason Rudolph. And if they get to a point where Ben Roethlisberger can, quote-unquote, get on a moving train, then that's what he will do. Not ideal circumstances for the Steelers, but Tomlin learned a long time ago that's part of the deal in the National Football League.
As a competitor, and I'm a competitor, we're competitors, we're all always excited about having an opportunity to smile in the face of adversity. The adversity that life in the game of football presents, whether it's injuries or COVID or otherwise, that's just something that always has my attention, something that we're always ready to stand up against. I think about last time we went to L.A. to play these guys. Man, we went out there with Duck Hodges, man, and had a pretty good day. That was then. This is now. We got a big week ahead of us in terms of the work. And obviously, not only are we different, but they're different.
Yeah, and they're getting more different. The Chargers are not immune to the COVID issues either. Defensive lineman Joey Bosa and Jerry Tillery entered the COVID-19 protocol on Tuesday. Now, if a player is vaccinated and gets a positive test, he can return as long as he's asymptomatic for 48 hours and produces two negative tests in 24 hours. If you're unvaccinated and positive, then you're out a minimum 10 days. So
Bosa's unvaccinated.
Well, then he ain't playing.
Bye-bye.
Both of those guys are significant players for the Chargers. Bosa's one of the best edge rushers in the game. Tillery is one of their starting defensive linemen. He's a pretty good player. And those two guys are also part of their four-man front on third down that they prefer. That's two significant hits.
Play the over.
Hits for the Chargers. As for Rudolph, who is at least in line to start again, Mike Tomlin said that his fill-in starting QB wasn't bad against the Lions, but that doesn't mean there isn't room for improvement.
You know, he did a good job articulating the offense, communicating with guys. The pace in which we desired to work, he was able to uphold. We worked fast some. We utilized cadence as a weapon. He is central to that. We got some penalties and got a free 5 yards, and we're able to attack them downfield with his use of pace. His ability to communicate not only in-game but between series and express likes and dislikes and articulate what he saw was acceptable. His reads and distribution of the football was largely what we wanted. He stretched the ball down the field at times and gave us an opportunity to make them not only defend the field horizontally but vertically. If I could be critical of him in any way, I thought he could have been better from a pinpoint accuracy standpoint in some instances to set up run after. And putting the ball in an ideal circumstance so a guy in a flat can win that flat confrontation, if you will, and things of that nature. But largely, man, this is not the first rodeo for him. It's not the first rodeo for him with us. And so I don't think any of us were surprised by the things that he was able to do for us. As a matter of fact, we expected it. I know he expected it. I think that was his 10th start for us now. And so it's not something that's you know, troublesome or worrisome. We just expect that guy to play winning football for us.
Yeah, I think it's fairly accurate representation, particularly with where the ball was going. It was going to the right spot, but was it getting there on time and was it getting there on target? I think the deep balls reveal that it was not the on-target part. You know, he was finding the single coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, stack box, you're throwing against that. He's finding the single coverage outside. They got the one pass interference penalty on the first drive when he tried a deep shot to James Washington. He had the one long one to Deontay Johnson in overtime, the one on which Johnson fumbled. But the rest of those shots, I mean, he should have been throwing it where he was throwing it, but the ball just wasn't in a spot where the receiver could make a play way too often. And that's the difference between Rudolph and Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, Ben had trouble with some downfield throws early in the season, too. I think that Deontay Johnson had one that went through the breadbasket in the end zone. I'm not sure how long it was. I thought it was over 20 yards, but maybe I'm mistaken about that. But it's clear that I don't think Mason doesn't know where he's supposed to go. There were days when Mason Rudolph would not throw the ball because he was afraid of throwing a pick.
He would just hold it and hold it.
Now he's not afraid of throwing the pick. He's just more likely to do so. So he's got to pick the right shoulder. He's got to, like you said, lead that guy in the flat. You can't be leave those guys out to hang get him killed. And
you can't miss Deontay Johnson on a slant when he's running open at speed, and there's a big play there, and you throw it high and outside, and he gets one hand on it on third and three.
Wait, and 90 miles an hour. I think that was part of it too. You're trying to
throw it to Sawickley.
If you're going to throw it like that, you got to put it right on target.
To me, you know, Mason Rudolph is a quarterback who lacks some of the high-end talent. So you can't have receivers dropping balls fumbling after they catch the ball.
That's the other part. Everybody's got to pick it up a little.
The margin for error
to help him out
capsizes.
And they did not. So we'll see. Justin, I watched the Vikings-Chargers game yesterday, and Vikings won that and improved to 4-5. Chargers lost. It fell to 5-4. I think those are both two good football teams that are going to be a problem. Minnesota in particular. I don't know how the Vikings are 4-5.
Well, they've lost a lot of heartbreaker games.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to talk with Staggy, Paul Steigerwald, about the imminent sale of the Penguins. Mark Caboli talking Steelers, Mark Madden on the way. Val's got your news top of the hour. Val, what are you talking about?
Well, our soldiers did not fight for freedom, so you can get naked wherever you feel like it. We'll talk about one man who thought that coming up.
When we come back, missed tackles. Bill Crawford takes you through the stories you miss on the NFL weekend when you were focused solely on the Steelers. Right here on the DVE Morning Show. Randy Bauman along with Bill Crawford, Val Porter, Mike Pursuit. Our producer is Joe Rickicki. Each weekend, the NFL is ripe with stories that we don't have time to get to because we are so Steeler-centric.
We are.
Missed opportunities, or missed tackles, if you will. Here
missed
to tackle
reads.
All of those stories, Bill Crawford.
Well, I know that we're all still pretty bummed about the Steelers tying the Lions, so I wanted to start with some parody around the league that should be Steelers serotonin. Little shot in the arm. Couple things to think about moving forward. First off, the Browns got absolutely embarrassed by the Patriots on Sunday. That's just good news and a feel-good story for the Steelers.
It really is.
They scored the first touchdown, and then the Patriots scored 45 unanswered points. That's how that game went. Absolute domination. The only thing that would have made it sweeter is if it was the Jaguars or the, you know, the Lions, honestly.
Well, that's
can I throw a challenge flag on that?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
It's the Patriots,
though. Wait a second.
Though.
I'm getting to that.
Okay.
Let's not talk about the Patriots, all right? That could bum us out. Let's not bring that up. That's I don't like it that potentially one of the best storylines would be Belichick winning a Super Bowl without Brady the year after Brady won it without Belichick. I don't care if it's a good story. Those are two of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and that that could open a portal to hell if that happens. I hope that Mac stubs his toe in the tunnel sometime real soon. Maybe Bill Belichick injures himself cutting his hoodies. It's a scary thought, but they look good because I watched that game, and Mac is making all the throws.
Played really well.
So let's not talk about that. The Bengals didn't play this week, but the week before, they got absolutely demolished by the Browns at home right before their bye week, and that's pretty sweet because it's like the new kid getting beat up right before spring break. You know, he thinks he's cool, but now he has to walk around the mall for a week with a black eye.
Yeah.
On his week off. Like so that's nice.
Like when they discover that Ronald really was a geek in Camp I Me Love.
Like, you're not as cool as you thought you were.
Yeah.
So settle down, Bengals. And the week started off great. The Ravens got beat by the Dolphins. Tua gave them the broken middle finger. Literally. He has a broken middle finger on his throwing hand and somehow led the Dolphins to victory 22-10 over the Ravens. Brissett actually started that game, so they got beat by the backup's backup, who's actually the starter, which is confusing. But what's not confusing is that they crushed Lamar. The Dolphins' defense is scary good. They sacked him four times. He got picked off. And for the first time, Lamar seems to be showing the fatigue of carrying that team because they're asking him to do
everything.
It all.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's finally showing some signs that he's human. So that's good news for the Steelers. And then that brings us to our last and final thing that I don't know if it's good news, but Lev Bell got released, and he tweeted out, "This hurts, but it's been a blessing to be here, to say the least. I've enjoyed every second of this short period and got a whole new meaning of what this city is like and its great place. And it's a great place to be. I appreciate Eric DeCastro and John Harbaugh for the opportunity to be called Ann Raven." And, you know, that's perfect, a perfect Lev Bell tweet. Sports Illustrated reported that he had changed his, and updated his bio. And forgive me, there's a lot of hashtags here, but his bio reads, #, washed, #, fell off, #, slow, #, bad rapper, #, wasted talent, #, clown, #, greedy, #, let down, #, old, #, overrated. And then he wrote, anything else I'm forgetting? No, I think you covered it. He kind of did the 8 Mile thing where he said all the bad things about himself. But I would maybe add hashtag dumb, hashtag bad at math, hashtag bad advice taker to the bio.
Hashtag not a financial analyst.
Yeah.
Hashtag sad story. The last time that he played for the Pittsburgh Steelers was in that horrific loss to the Jags, 42-45. In that game, though, Lev went off.
He had 120 yards.
Yeah, he had 155 total yards, yeah. A receiving touchdown, a rushing touchdown. He had 9 catches in that game.
And he didn't show up to the walkthrough the day before.
So that was the last time that he had played with AB on the Steelers. And AB went off in that game. He had 132 yards and 2 touchdowns in that game. It might take this Steelers team 3 games to score 42 points, even though it was like garbage time and we were just catching up and all that. And I feel bad for Lev because he's just dumb. Like, things didn't work out with AB, but he's crazy. And just a quick review for everybody out there. Driving down McKnight Road smoking weed is dumb. Driving down McKnight Road driving 100 miles an hour is crazy. Sitting out a full year in your prime and getting fat in Miami is dumb. But dyeing your mustache blonde and demanding that everybody calls you Ronald is crazy. You could spend your time making rap songs that are horrible when you're the best running back in the league, but that just makes you dumb. Throwing ottomans off a balcony is crazy. So we're not getting AB back. But I don't know. Look, I think it's a sad story because... our friend Pat Muldowney tweeted this out. Le'Veon Bell rushed for 1,291 yards in 2017, his last year with the Steelers. Since then, he's rushed for 1,200 yards.
Yep.
He had 2 disastrous years with the Jets. Adam Gase didn't even want to sign him. Remember that?
Yeah.
There was just disaster after disaster. He had hamstring injuries. He's going bowling when he's sick. Then he was like the backup running back for the Chiefs, and now he gets cut by the Ravens after he played in 5 games this season and rushed for 83 yards on 31 carries and scored 2 touchdowns. And I'm not saying that the Steelers should go out and sign him. I'm not saying that he's Lev Bell of old. But wouldn't it be a good story? I mean, if we're talking good storylines, come on home. Do the Cam Newton thing. Come back. I mean, just as a backup, Najee is a superstar, so there's no, like, misconception about his role. This isn't a Melvin Ingram thing where you come in and you think you might have a chance to be the number one. No. But is he better than Benny Snell football?
Kalen Ballage, I would Ballage? Say. But here's the problem with this scenario that you're painting.
Yes. Kicking game.
You just called him... dumb 100 different ways.
Yeah.
Do you think he'll come back here and be below Najee and Benny Snell on the depth chart?
No, because he's dumb. But I can hope for it. I can want it to happen.
Yeah, the other part of that is I don't know that he plays any special teams, and
I can guarantee he doesn't.
The backup running back's got to do that.
You know, when I knew that he had, like, sometimes when you gain that kind of weight, it's just really hard to get it back. And I knew that he was never going to be the same when he started tweeting out his workout videos, and they changed dramatically.
Yep.
Because he used to do his workout videos, and they were insane. And then he started tweeting out his workout videos after Miami, after he took a year off with the Jets.
Like eating a cheeseburger?
It was, I mean, basically, every clip of him running was in slow motion. And I'm not sure he was using an effect.
He was doing the Damon Wayans workout from the great White Hype, where he's like doing a sit-up and eating a cheeseburger when he got to the top.
Right. Yeah. Chasing the ice cream truck. jogging after the ice cream truck.
Dangling a mozzarella stick over himself.
All right, Bill made some good points there in the missed tackle segment.
I'm glad he did clear up the, because I was a little confused about AB and Lev Bell.
Yes, one is dumb, one is crazy.
One is crazy. By the way, the Sports Illustrated, that him updating his bio, that was actually like wrong. I mean, he did update his bio, but it was in the offseason. It was after he got cut by the Chiefs that he did that, because he was just hearing it from everybody.
Oh, okay.
You know, and it sucks. It's unfortunate.
Oh, that was real?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he really did do that.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he did that.
Oh, I thought you were just kind of...
No.
No.
He's a little artistic license there.
Bad rapper, nope. Washed up, all that stuff. He actually... Yeah.
Really? Wasted talent.
Wasted talent.
I mean, the guy was the best running back in the league and sat out.
He finally figured it out, apparently.
Steelers are lucky he didn't agree to the contract they offered him.
I don't know about that.
I do.
Hasn't exactly worked out great for them since those guys left either. AB is winning all that right now.
Yes. Yeah. That guy has a ring.
Believe it or not, because he got a ring.
Talent. He's too talented.
He's a case study. When anybody says, oh, like, you know, why isn't this guy in the league? It's racist, this, that, and the other thing, political views. Look at AB. He's absolutely crazy.
He's crazy.
But he's really good at football.
Yeah. It's like that cab driver said to me years ago in New Orleans while listening to a Rick James song. He goes, you know why Rick James still isn't in jail right now, even though he should be? Because he's too effing talented.
Yes.
He was right. All right, Val's News coming up next here on the DBE.
Pittsburgh.
All of a sudden, I get a call from Serena, and she's like, oh, you know, I didn't feel well the other day, and so I went and got tested this morning, and I have COVID. And I'm like, oh, that's terrible. And then she's like, well, you're going to have the kids for the next 10 days. And I'm like, oh, that's also terrible. All right. Soon as I hang up with her, the phone rings again, and it's the school like, come get your kid. Come get her now. So immediately I go pick her up. I go pick Kennedy up. I go pick Emma up. And now we're just quarantining. So, like, that night, we're sitting on the couch, and Emma's like, and Kenny's like, kill her, Dad, kill her. I think she has it. She starts crying. I'm like, we don't shame people in this house.
No.
But everybody put on a mask and go to your own rooms.
Randy Bellman and the DVE Morning Show.
All right, so we got Val in another room this morning out of an abundance of caution. Mm-hmm. You know, these are the times.
Just to be safe.
Come get your Val. Come get her.
Protect everybody.
here's what I worry about, Bill. Val's going to be like, let's just do this from now on. I'd rather not be in the room. She hasn't had to hear one stupid conversation during commercial breaks, especially the one we just had. I'm like,
yeah, that was really dumb.
No, I just assumed you're talking about me.
Oh, no.
No.
As a matter of fact, halfway through the conversation we were having, I looked over just to make sure it was on mute. I'm like, oh, Val's not listening to this.
Now we have a way to do the earmuffs.
That's right. Digital earmuffs. That's my DJ name. What do you got going on?
12 minutes after 7 at DVE, here's a Channel 11 Severe Weather Center forecast.
Severe Weather Center 11.
Definitely warming up quick today. 42 degrees at DVE. The news is brought to us by Keystone Basement Systems, highest rated, most trusted, KeystoneBasementSystems.com. A second day of jury selection gets underway this morning for a woman accused of helping Jeffrey Epstein abuse girls. Ghislaine Maxwell is on trial in New York for sex crimes. She denies luring victims for Epstein, who took his own life 2 years ago in a jail cell while awaiting sex trafficking charges. Opening statements are scheduled for November 29th, with a trial likely lasting into the new year. Coronavirus case numbers continue to climb during the pandemic. On Tuesday, public health officials reported 658 new COVID diagnoses in Allegheny County, 269 new cases in Westmoreland County. And the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh is organizing two COVID-19 vaccine clinics for kids. Museum officials say they'll hold clinics this coming Saturday for kids getting their first dose, then December 11th for the second. Families who sign up will receive free admission to the Children's Museum and the museum lab for one child and one adult. The Delta variant is accounting for 99% of COVID-19 cases worldwide. The World Health Organization reported nearly all of the up to 900,000 COVID-19 cases sequenced over the last 60 days originated from the Delta strain. The highly contagious variant was first detected in India just under a year ago. COVID-19 cases have been increasing worldwide over the last 4 weeks, with Europe accounting for a majority of the new cases. How about a little better news? Allegheny County ice skaters preparing for the opening of rinks at North and South Park. Officials plan to open facilities at both parks tomorrow. Skating season is expected to run through the middle of March.
Pittsburgh parks are incredible, by the way. There are so many people who don't utilize the parks that we have, and there's so many great ones. I did a walk around Riverside Park last weekend.
Oh, that's a great one.
It is awesome. Yeah, I walked up by the observatory and stuff. It's so nice. There's so many awesome parks. My favorite still, like West Park on the north side, for a city park, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Lake Elizabeth there, just beautiful trees and walkways and common areas. On the weekends, there's always like family gatherings and stuff there. It's outstanding.
Shenley Park, Frick Park.
Man, Shenley Park is another gem. Frick Beautiful. Park is ridiculous.
Yeah, Frick Park is huge. There's all these really cool mountain bike trails, just really maintained well. Just a great woods walk. You got to be careful for humongous snakes in the trees.
Yeah, that was weird. That one time.
Other than that.
But every time people talk about Pittsburgh and the attributes of this city being, you know, the, you know, a smaller city with all of the big city accoutrements, it's never mentioned that, you know, you have this big city feel and then tremendous parks throughout. So take advantage of those and donate to the Pittsburgh Parks Conservancy or buy a hoodie from them or something. That's one to grow on.
If you're one of those people who wakes up in the middle of the night and just can't get back to sleep, try ditching the clock. Sleep expert Terry Crowell says when you check the time during the night, you inevitably calculate how long you've been awake and how long you have left until you have to get up. That can easily lead to stress and anxiety and make it more difficult to fall back asleep. Crawl says that you got to give yourself a maximum of 20 minutes of tossing and turning. After that, get out of bed and do something relaxing in a very dim light, as dim as possible. Something like listening to an audiobook, knitting, or doing a puzzle
knitting
in the middle of the night.
I talked about this a couple weeks ago. You know, you can't look at the clock. It'll really mess you up.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, I had to get up to let the dog out, and I was terrified. I'm like, I don't want to look. And then I caught the clock, and it was only like midnight. And I was like, yeah! I was so excited.
Mm-hmm.
This calls for a bowl of cereal.
I'm going to go do jumping jacks in the basement.
I got a few hours.
Yeah, I always feel like the sleep expert is just somebody who was an insomniac and needed to do something about it. Like, any sleep expert to me is just a guy who couldn't sleep and got sick of it and was like, all right, better start reading about this, better become an expert. I've always had a problem sleeping. Staying asleep is probably one of the biggest ones.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. You know, although I sleep much more soundly on the weekends, there's just something about knowing that you don't have to get up that'll let you sleep a little sounder. When I got to get up for work, it's that constant feeling of every dream I'm having. You're late. You're late.
Mm-hmm. Your alarm didn't go off, which has happened to me a bunch.
Yeah, it's happened,
obviously.
Too. Power went out. Anyways, read a book on sleep. That'll put you to sleep.
A 44-year-old man named Frank Towers got arrested in Minneapolis on Friday after he got naked at the airport and started pleasuring himself, then got into it with a TSA agent and threatened to kill them.
Wow. That escalated quickly.
You're right. When airport police told him to stand down, he refused because, quote, it's a free country. When they confronted him, he had just picked up one of those stanchion posts and was swinging it around like a weapon. You know, the things that they like they rope things off with. He swung it around, threw it at an agent. Cops came at him again. That's when he dropped the it's a free country line. No surprise. They did eventually have to tase him. And apparently he had put his clothes back on by this point because they didn't know about it until they looked at security footage later. Found footage of him punching and headbutting televisions. He threw a chair at one point as well. Meltdown. He got naked. So he's facing felony charges for threats of violence and fourth degree assault.
That's a rampage. That qualifies as rampage.
That definitely qualifies.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Running around the airport masturbating, singing, "I'm proud to be an American."
Nobody likes going through security that much. No. Come on.
At least it wasn't on the plane.
Right?
A German man who was nearly killed in a car accident in 2015 is now living with the same condition that plagued Drew Barrymore's character in the movie 50 First Dates. He can't remember anything from the previous day. Daniel Schmidt suffered traumatic brain injuries in the accident, and it is a miracle that he survived. But his short-term memory now only lasts about 6 hours, and he wakes up every day not remembering anything from the day before, including things that he did and people he knows.
Oh, man.
Schmidt has a young child and can't remember the day he was born. His condition also stressed out his relationship with his girlfriend, leading to a breakup. It's unknown whether his condition will improve, but it's unlikely. So for now, he manages to just write things down every day so he can try to remember them the next day.
Was that movie Memento?
Yes.
He had the same affliction?
Yeah,
he had to write things down?
Yeah, no short-term memory. So he would wake up and like read his body.
Oh, that's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Really tough in a relationship, too. Because women remember everything. They're bringing up stuff from a fight like 3 years ago. You're like, well, I can't remember yesterday, honey.
Although if you're dating that person, you can get away with a lot of stuff.
Yes.
Tom Petty's estate has teamed up with Willie's Remedy, a hemp-based wellness line from Willie Nelson and his wife, Annie Nelson. They're launching a limited edition wildflowers tea. Tea is a blend of whole chamomile flowers, lemon myrtle flowers, peppermint leaves, and hemp. Part of the proceeds will be donated to Music Cares. Maybe that's another good nighty night tea.
Yeah, that'd be a good one for you.
A little nighttime tea.
I still think you should just plop a bunch of this Delta 8 I got sitting on the desk over here right into your nighttime tea and sleep soundly through the night.
Yeah, that stuff scares me now too.
Well, the first few times I took it, it did nothing. And then, like, the fourth time I took it, I just thought it was like CBD.
Setting you up. Jab, jab,
super high.
Jab, jab, jab.
Yeah.
Uppercut.
Yeah, totally. I'm like, why am I so stoned? Oh, that stuff Val gave me. Val got me high.
Are my eyes glowing? Why am I floating to the kitchen?
Yeah, when you're high and you're not expecting it and it just hits you out of nowhere and you can't, you know, figure out where the hell it came from. It's a weird feeling.
You know what I did immediately? I locked all the doors. I don't know why. I was like, I don't feel safe.
You see, I don't want anybody coming in here and seeing me like this. Yeah.
I guess I'll get you for Christmas.
Yeah. I'm a big fan. But throw it in your sleepy time tea there, Val, and you'll get knocked right out.
The 30th anniversary super deluxe edition of Nirvana's album Nevermind is out now. The reissue includes super deluxe editions featuring 4 complete live shows from Nirvana's Rise to Fame. The line of Kiss Gin and Rum, Drink It Up by Kiss, is now available in 25 states after selling over 100,000 bottles across Europe, Japan, and Australia. So there's a good one for a Kiss fan on your Christmas list.
What did Ace Frehley say? Did we get to that yet?
Oh, I'll get to that. No, we didn't get to it yesterday, but I will.
Okay, because Ace Frehley is...
It was kooky.
He's really... He might be...
You know what? I'll just do it now.
He might have been hitting those Delta 8s up.
He might have been. Let me find the story. I might be doing it later this morning.
Do it later this morning, because we're running a little late.
All right.
And I want to go to sports with Mike here. We've got DVE Mario coming up at 7:45. The team, the Penguins, may be being sold to the Fenway Sports Group, the same group that owns the Red Sox, that owns the Liverpool Football Club. This is
Roush Racing.
Yeah, LeBron James is a part of this ownership group. So LeBron would be part owner of the Penguins if this is true. We're going to ask DVE Mario about the veracity of these claims. Mike Pursuta in next, the Penguins. Oh, my God.
Oof.
Just a million shots on goal, couldn't score last night. They lose to the Sabres. That's like tying the Lions.
Right? Can LeBron James play for us?
Mike will have a full report on that. And the big news, the Penguins might be being sold to the Fenway Sports Group. Looks like that is indeed the case. So new ownership headed to Pittsburgh. We'll have Paul Stagerwald on next hour to speak to that. Also, Mark Caboli from The Athletic talking Steelers as they head into the Chargers this weekend in Los Angeles, who will be without Joey Bosa. But the Steelers, it looks like, without Minka and Ben. They are preparing with Mason Rudolph. So number two gets another chance. Sunday Night Football, which you can hear right here, the 8:15 kickoff and 4 hours of pregame on your radio home of the Pittsburgh Steelers, 102.5.
DVE Sports.
All right. Mike Pursuta with your sports right now on the DVE Morning Show.
Sports is brought to you by Kia. Word began to spread yesterday afternoon that the Penguins were being sold, but the word this morning is there has been a breakdown. A breakdown, I tell you, in the negotiations.
What?
But you have to understand that I couldn't make enough of a profit to have a sale be worthwhile. My accountant tells me I'm better off folding the team, taking a tax loss.
You mean you could sell us, but you won't?
I could probably sell you, but I can't.
That didn't sound like John Henry.
Didn't sound like Mario.
The Penguins are actually in the process of being sold. You got to love it when you can always revert back to Slapshot. Any situation in life.
Any situation in life, really. Yes.
So that's the greatest movie ever made.
It was on last week. I watched a little bit of it. I mean, it's directed. Is it Walter Hill, the guy that directed it? The guy who
Roy
did,
Hill.
Roy Hill. He did Aliens.
What?
Yeah, he did like big movies and also Slapshot with Paul freaking Newman.
Yeah.
That movie could have been a turd, but because those great people were involved, it really is. That's why it's such a classic. There's great actors in it.
Well, and much
Susie Kurtz.
Much like Caddyshack, it was over the top, exaggerated,
yeah.
and yet a huge element of truth to it.
Right. They got the spirit of the thing.
Wow. I shouldn't even go on. That's perfectly said, Bill.
They got the spirit of the thing, Reg.
Wall Street Journal reporting that the Penguins are in the process of being sold to the Fenway Sports Group. That is headed by John Henry of Red Sox fame. The Fenway Sports Group's list of assets includes the Boston Red Sox and Major League Baseball, English Premier League soccer team Liverpool. I'm sure Madden's very excited about this. He's a big Liverpool fan. Roush Fenway Racing in NASCAR. And one of the investors is LeBron James, so maybe LeBron can either suit up or start adding some expertise.
Put him on the power play.
To the Penguin situation.
As long as he doesn't take their talents to South Beach.
He'd be a great net front presence guy.
Oh, my God.
You would not be able to move.
6'10".
You would not be able to move LeBron from out front of the net.
Well, you've seen Kiesel on skates.
I have.
It's scary.
He'd be a great net front presence
guy. My God, he's a monster.
Mario Lemieux expected to retain a minority stake in the team. This is going to be curious because I don't think these guys are buying the team to have it do poorly, and they clearly have a lot of money. But is your immediate take on this not all of a sudden, instead of Mario's team, it's become this antiseptic corporate bottom line kind of, okay, it's not performing, cut this, this, and this. You know, the heart has gone out of it a little bit, right?
I think that happens without question anytime there's an ownership change. I mean, we've been very fortunate here in Pittsburgh to have the connection with Mario Lemieux that was necessitated because we couldn't pay him. The organization yes. couldn't pay. I mean, you know, everyone likes to think it's like, oh, Mario came to save the day. It wasn't because he wanted to
Mario
necessarily
get his money.
He had to. It was how he was going to get paid.
Yeah, he was going to get nothing or he was going to get equity.
So as it turned out, and that's not to say he didn't do great things here and he isn't to be lauded for what he helped accomplish here in Pittsburgh, and it helped that he was Mario Lemieux, that the fan base stayed so connected to this team throughout some dismal years. But at some point, you knew he was going to want to get his money.
Yeah, and it's kind of a Pittsburgh thing. Well, it probably exists in other markets, but it definitely exists in Pittsburgh. You know, people love the Rooneys.
Yes.
Yes.
They love to hate and despise Bob Nutting. There's a connection with ownership.
Right.
And now it's like, oh, who owned the Chiefs?
Yeah, you know? That's my problem. I need one guy to hate.
Yeah.
The corporation, I don't want to hate a whole group.
What do you care? One. You get your check. You know, it's going to be different.
Oh, I think that they don't have the attachment to players, you know, and as much as some of the people in the front office might be shuffled around, yeah. Some of those big contracts where there's no emotional connection, no long-term...
You mean like to a Chris Letang or an Evgeny Malkin?
58 is who I was really thinking of, and those two especially.
He's having a great season.
They don't have the same sort of...
Maybe the guy who was adamant that they're going to finish their careers in Pittsburgh now doesn't have the say he used to have before he sold the team to the Fenway Sports Group.
It's interesting, but I think... Given the success these guys have had everywhere else, that it's ultimately a good thing for the Penguins.
Oh, I mean, Red Sox have won championships. Liverpool just won a championship. I don't know how the racing team does because I don't know if you guys knew this. I don't really watch NASCAR.
I did know that about you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, LeBron's a winner. Stay tuned. On the ice last night, Penguins basically spent the game shooting pucks at Sabres goaltender Dustin, Tokarski without much success.
The Sabres control on their own end. Dahlin lost it behind the net. Bluger centers in front. All on begin. Blast one in a left pad. Save from Tokarski again.
Yeah, he made 45 of those on 46 shots. Sabres managed 19 shots at Tristan Jarry. Penguins out attempted the Sabres 74-31.
Wow.
Sabres win the game anyway, 2-1. Penguins have lost three in a row. They are 5-6-4. And now they begin a sequence of schedule that will see them play on the road 9 times in their next 11 games. The Steelers and Mike Tomlin trying to come to grips with a 16-16 tie against the Lions and an upcoming trip to play the Chargers in Los Angeles. Tomlin asked yesterday about that 50-31 pass-run ratio in the Lions game in the rain and insisted it wasn't as out of whack as those numbers might suggest.
Well, we play 5 quarters of football, and so, you know, you're going to have more numbers there. You can, you know, you can draw that conclusion however you want to draw it, but we play 5 quarters of football, and so there's going to be some numbers there that kind of, you know, are not what you wanted, if you will. We also had a featured runner that went over 100, but that's what happens when you snap the ball as much as we did and play as much as we did. We had roughly 35 minutes time of possession, and so that probably has a lot to do with your line of questions.
You know, I was going as nuts as everybody else on that initially, but I'm going to concede that point to them. They got the ball back with 1:37 left in overtime, and they tried 10 passes, which you're not going to run when, you know, you're trying to get down and score and win the game. It was a 2-minute situation. Mm-hmm. Take that away, and it's 40 passes, 31 runs, which isn't, you know, 50-50, but you can't always achieve 50-50. It wasn't as bad as I thought. And I wasn't losing my mind over the 3 passes from the 5-yard line because the third one should have been a touchdown if you have any reasonable level of execution.
They didn't, and that's why you run.
Well, I mean, if you run, it doesn't guarantee you get in.
The guy that dove from the 4-yard line and ended up 3 yards in the end zone disagrees with you.
He can fly, Mike.
It's not as bad as I initially thought.
Okay.
But we'll see what that means
Sunday. It shouldn't have even been equal in my mind when Mason Rudolph's there.
Right, it should be slanted the other way. Like, it should have been more runs than passes.
Kind of like what the Niners did
mm-hmm.
to the Rams when they had Jimmy Garoppolo and they threw it 19 times and ran it a million times.
Yes.
Maybe it should have been that. But
well, when we sign Le'Veon Bell, that'll all get fixed.
Yeah, it will. Minkah Fitzpatrick's probably not going to play. Ben Roethlisberger has a chance to play. That's the COVID update. And the rest of the injured guys, not discouraging news, particularly as it relates to T.J. Watt. They're going to leave the light on for T.J. And if they got him, they got a shot, man. That guy's a different player. He's one of the elite.
They him and Cam both having incredible seasons.
They don't have him.
No bueno.
No bueno.
All right. Staggy's going to join us. Paul Steigerwald, 8:15. He'll talk about this impending sale. Mark Caboli from The Athletic talks Steelers, Chargers this weekend. Mark Madden in the 9 o'clock hour. I wonder how Mark's feeling about all of this. I would imagine he's feeling upset.
Mixed emotions?
Well, he's got a pretty good relationship with the front office as it stands now. And now all of a sudden, John Henry and these guys are coming in here. Mark's got to ingratiate himself.
Yeah, but isn't Liverpool his team?
Oh, that is true. Yeah, well, okay, so that part of it he might be very excited for.
Common interests.
We'll ask him about it at 9:45. When we come back, we're going right to the source. DVE Mario talks about the impending sale to the Fenway Sports Group. Is it true? You know, they had no comment on it. There's been no official, yep, this is definitely happening. It's just a lot of behind-the-scenes murmurs.
Well, it's the Wall Street Journal.
Wall Street Journal said, yeah, but the people, the actual parties have not said that.
Well, maybe they're coming around it. You know, they could sell the team, but they can't.
We'll hear. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. DVE Mario. And want to remind you, your Bud Light Game Day Bar of the Week, the Borough in downtown Punxsutawney. Again, that's the downtown Punxsutawney
location. You know that one street downtown?
Yes, the downtown one.
Not to be confused with suburban Punxsutawney.
That's right, the downtown Borough.
It's really popping down there.
Enjoy $3 Bud Light drafts during all Steeler games. Bud Light for the fan. It's the DVE Morning Show. Randy Bauman. Reports are that Fenway Sports Group, the group that owns the Boston Red Sox, the Liverpool Football Club, which racing group is it?
Roush.
Roush. Racing.
Roush Fenway.
They may be about to purchase the Pittsburgh Penguins from Mario Lemieux, Ron Burkle, and company. And while nothing has been confirmed yet, we thought we'd get DVE Mario on the line. Can you, Joe, call up DVE Mario, please? We want to get to the bottom of all of this because...
He's actually calling the big guy.
Yeah, no, we're calling him this morning.
Yeah, get him, wake his ass up.
Yeah, get him up out of bed and let's find out what is going on here. And lower that music bed for me.
Hey, obviously, bonjour. Huh? You got the big boy here. Speak to the magnifique.
Yeah, Mario.
What an answer.
It's Randy from the DVE Morning Show.
Morning, boys.
What's going on?
Just getting ready for my morning Pilates.
That doesn't sound...
No more champagne. No. Bring me some Margot.
It's like not even 8 in the morning. Did you just order wine?
Huh? No, obviously. You know, Chateau Margot make orange juice, too. You know, $900 a bottle, but chock full of vitamin C. Whoa. This is going to be good OJ. Not the murdering kind.
What?
Do you know what? Burkle knows him. Swear to God.
Wait. You're right. Mario, you're obviously celebrating the sale of the team. This apparently is going down.
Hey, Burkle. Get that lampshade off your head, you big poop. That's just your head? Man, Burkle, you got a big head. Sorry, boys. What? Obviously missed that. What were you saying?
The rumors are true that you sold the team, obviously, right?
Well, you know, obviously I can neither confirm nor deny any report that might be out there that I finally get my money. It's no longer just on the sheet of balance. I'm flush like Brian Burke's face. I'm more liquid than Jim Rutherford's afternoon dose. Joke? Huh? Heard of comedy?
Yeah, it's a pretty gross joke, but okay. But look, so it's true. The sale of the team is imminent. You're still going to be involved in the organization, right? Not just some half-ass connection to the team.
Oh, no. It's full ass. Yeah. Gotta go full ass for the Fenway Group. They insist. They want 100% ass put into it, which is why Morehouse is going to keep his job.
What?
Joke.
Oh, yeah. It's
obviously comedy. Right, yeah. He's a good egg. Uh-huh. You know, he went to Harvard. Kidding. That's all he talk about.
Right, geez, he's,
hey, Tommy, when are we going to tee it?
He's really roasting everyone. Hey, well, Mary, I'm glad you finally are cashing out there, big guy.
Well, thank you. You know, it's time. You know, I'm not in a bread lines or anything.
No,
anything like that, you know. But when you got so much of your money tied up in investment, I mean, you can't buy a summer home by giving a bank Chad Ruedel, you know. Yeah. They don't accept defensemen as down payment.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, now that I'm liquid, you know, obviously the first thing that I'm going to do, I'm going to hire a special ops team.
Special
ops? So help me God, we're going to rescue Jimmy Pack and bring him back home alive. You hear me? Alive.
Mario, Jimmy Pack isn't being held hostage. He's the coach of the South Korean national team.
You know, obviously that was a joke for the comedy. Yeah, you know, yeah. You got to have that, you know, especially on the DV morning show. Yeah. So much sports this time of year.
Well, it's Steelers season. Jokes. Well, Mario, look, I mean, I know I speak on behalf of the whole Penguins fan base and the city of Pittsburgh when I say that I hope you won't be a stranger to all of us here in Pittsburgh.
Well, you know, I love Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh have my heart. And I will never, ever leave her. Pittsburgh is obviously my home. And it always will be. Always will be my home. I'm sorry. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm
getting emotional?
No, I'm getting the hell out of here. Flying to West Palm on Barkle's jet. The weather sucks up here this time of year. Adios, sucker!
But you literally just said...
Joke! Okay. Comedy! All right. See you at the rink, boys. Huh? Huh? I'm winking. Huh? Winking.
Yeah,
let's go, Pens.
All right.
Fire up the jet, Ronnie. We're liquid.
Pittsburgh.
All right. Last thing for you. You are on the anti-renegade bandwagon. You seem to be pushing all kinds of anti-sticks propaganda out onto the internet right now. I, for one, as a Dennis DeYoung devotee, don't appreciate it, and I want to understand what it is that you hate about the song so much.
I went back and looked at all the times they played Renegade in the recent history and what was the result after it, and it was pretty bad. I mean, we're looking at less than 50% success rate, so I'm just saying, I'll come clean. Just a way to rile up the yinzers, right?
That's all I wanted you to say.
Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show.
Mark Caboli, hater of fun. He'll be on the show at 8:45 this morning talking Steelers. And I know they played Renegade last week. I can't remember how it worked out for him.
It didn't work out. But the week before, the Monday night game, it worked out. While the song was still on.
Yeah. They fumbled the kickoff right into Boswell's hands. Well, there might be enough Steeler fans at SoFi Stadium this Sunday that they could play Renegade and it would have an effect. We'll talk to Caboli 8:45, Mark Madden in the 9 o'clock hour.
Didn't they play Renegade at the soccer stadium the last time, the Duck game?
I think you might be right about that.
Yeah. Like almost like as a... You know,
like they were trying to troll.
As a rip.
Yeah. And it turned out to be like, actually, there's too many Steeler fans here to do that. You should have bailed on that idea. Val's got your news right now. We'll talk to Staggy in about 10 minutes about the impending Penguins sale. What's up, Val?
4 minutes after 8 at DVE, here's the Channel 11 Severe Weather Center.
Severe Weather Center 11.
It's 44 degrees at DVE. I'm Val Porter. A Pittsburgh mom is hoping to find a bone marrow donor for her son who has a rare autoimmune disease. On Tuesday, Missy and Pete Ramirez said they had recently found out their son Jackson has a disease that affects 1 in 1.6 million people. The couple says Jackson has to live in a protective bubble and has been admitted at Children's Hospital 5 times already. Those who want to explore if they're a possible match can go to bethematch.org.
So I want to point out that Val is, out of an abundance of caution, she is broadcasting from a different part of the building today. And that means that occasionally you'll have those glitches. You just had another one of those sort of Looney Tunes glitches just now where it like...
The Wi-Fi must not be great in the broom closet.
Yes. Yeah. The broom closet. Hey, get used to that broom closet. That's going to be bigger than where we're going to be in about 2 months. But occasionally what it's doing, so that the audience knows, is it like puts on hold the information that Val is broadcasting, and then it will try to catch it up, and it just, you'll hear Val just...
Yeah, it's like an audio accordion or something.
So if you
that,
could...
I hear you guys that way sometimes too.
Oh, son of a... That's no good.
Yeah.
Well, hey, look, so it's better than the alternative. You know, this is what we have to live with.
It is. Mm-hmm. If you want to see if you're a possible bone marrow donor for this little boy, you can go to bethematch.org.
Thank you.
The statewide school mask mandate is now set to expire on December 4th unless Governor Wolf's administration is granted a stay. On Tuesday, Judge Christine Cannon sided with parents who have sought to overturn Governor Wolf's mask requirement announced at the beginning of the school year. Judge Cannon said the acting Secretary of Health did not have the authority to issue the mandate. The governor can still appeal the ruling to the state Supreme Court. And you'll soon have a chance to enter a lottery to buy one of 425 bottles of rare whiskey. The Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board has opened its limited release lottery to state residents and licensees for the chance to opt in to five separate lotteries. Buffalo Trace 2020. The price for each whiskey is $110. The limited release lottery registration is open until this Friday. It is sentencing day for an Arizona man who prosecutors call the face of the Capitol riot. They want Jacob Chansley to be given 51 months in prison for his role in January's attack. They made the request last week, telling a judge it would set an example. Chansley is the one in the photos with the face paint, no shirt,
bison hat,
the horned helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The what do they call him? The QAnon shaman.
Yeah,
the guy they called
he's
that.
The vegan. He's the guy that complained that the jail food wasn't healthy enough.
Yeah, he wanted to have organic food in jail.
He pleaded guilty in September and has been behind bars for almost 10 months. Climate change and supply chain issues are leading to a Christmas tree shortage. Both natural and artificial trees will be in short supply, and what's available is going to cost more. Supply chain problems are slowing the shipment of artificial trees from factories in China to retailers in the U.S., and supply chain issues are pairing up with weather disasters due to climate change to slow the shipment of a reduced supply of real trees to the market. And because of supply chain fear, some parents are stockpiling gifts to ensure their kids have something to open on Christmas. 20% of shoppers say they're buying more stuff in case other stuff doesn't arrive in time. That figure jumps to 45% among millennials who are in the prime parenting years. One mom telling NBC News, if need be, I can always return stuff later, but I want to make sure the kids have gifts on Christmas.
That sounds really smart. In a related story, I have not done that.
Get your ass in gear, man.
I got to do it. I just got out of quarantine. Give me a second.
Yeah, I mean, you could always use that excuse,
by the way.
Your
morning shower routine includes applying antiperspirant. You might...
Oh, boy. Yeah, sorry, Val. You got cut off there again. You could always just use that as, like, the elves had COVID. We're on a little bit of a delay.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like, everything is a week
behind.
The elf
on the shelf's in quarantine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yelp got COVID. So sorry.
If your morning shower routine includes applying antiperspirant, you might want to change that. According to the president of the American Academy of Dermatology, antiperspirants actually are more effective when applied at night before going to bed. The idea is since you sweat less when you sleep, it will be absorbed better. And they say you shouldn't worry about your morning shower washing it off because it will have been sufficiently absorbed into your pores overnight.
I had a roommate who put antiperspirant on his feet.
Ew.
Because his feet were sweating too much at work.
That's gross.
So he was trying to get his feet to stop sweating.
Did it work?
I don't know. He had the smelliest feet. Like, the rule in our house was he had to have a shoe. Like, he couldn't take his shoes off. Unless it was in his room. Like, he was not allowed to walk around in socks or barefoot.
Yeah, what do you do for that?
I don't know. It was so nasty. And I was like, dude, you got to go to some kind of doctor or get them amputated.
Go dangle them over a piranha pond or something.
Stick them in bleach for a day.
Well, you'd think if you were right in the middle of the tumultuous time chronicled in the upcoming documentary, Beatles Get Back, you wouldn't get much out of watching it again all these years later. But you'd be wrong, according to Paul McCartney, who freely admits the Peter Jackson-directed film has changed his feelings about their breakup. Speaking to Britain's Sunday Times, McCartney admits that he'd long bought into the narrative that he was to blame for the Beatles' breakup during a dark time for the... footage, he realized that things weren't nearly as bleak as they'd been painted. He says he finds it really fabulous that the film shows the four of them having a ball. He calls seeing that so reaffirming for him, and he adds that one of the important things about the Beatles is that they could make each other laugh, and that footage proves it. He points out one scene where he and John Lennon are performing Two of Us, and for some reason they've decided to do it like ventriloquists, which he said was hilarious. He said it proves to Paul that his main memory of the Beatles was the joy and the skill. The three-part Beatles Get Back premieres on Disney Plus from November 25th through the 27th.
Well, you know, when you originally watched that movie back in the day, it just seemed like they were bickering nonstop. And that was an editorial decision, I guess, to include that stuff in the movie. So if you think about a breakup, you know, you're not necessarily thinking about all the good times when you're thinking about an old relationship. So if you're shown footage of when you guys actually were in love, you could be like, oh,
well,
you know what? That actually was a fun time. So that all makes sense to me. But it's such a tragedy that John and Paul didn't get to have like the true reconciliation in the public eye. Like, I guess they did personally. But man, if John Lennon would have lived, you know that they would have done more stuff together. And the biggest tour ever would have been the Beatles Live sometime in the late 80s. $200 a ticket. Fair, you know, before the $100 tickets came in, the Eagles, was it Hell Freezes Over tour that was the first to breach the $100 mark for a ticket?
Now it's pretty commonplace.
Boy, isn't it? Isn't that crazy? I mean, I don't buy too many tickets over $100, but if it's a marquee name, it's over $100. Like, what were the Stones' face value? I know it was.
I don't know.
Tiered.
Oh, they were expensive. I mean, to be down on the field level,
couple $100.
Easy.
Yeah. In my day,
The Rock is pitching himself as the next James Bond. Speaking to Esquire, he made his argument for why he should take over the role as Daniel Craig's tenure ends. He noted his grandfather, Peter Maivia, played a Bond villain in You Only Live Twice, and he wants to follow in his footsteps. Johnson insisted he has to be 007 and he doesn't want to be a villain. His grandfather's movie came out in 1967 when Sean Connery was playing Bond. And I'm not sure if this is a very Bond-like activity. The Rock confessed to peeing in water bottles. He says he's often overscheduled and super hydrated during intense workouts. He doesn't have time to properly use the bathroom. He said, he told Esquire, quote, the gyms where I work out don't have a bathroom. They're just hot, sweaty, and dirty. I do pee in my water bottles. A dedicated bottle I'm no longer using. The Rock is not normal people, so I don't know if normal people do that.
Where's he working out that they don't have a bathroom?
I think he's lying about
that.
And
why doesn't he have his own private gym?
Yeah, he's got a lot of money. Why? What?
I want to see him be James Bond so long as every fight he gets into is a wrestling match. Like, it has to be all wrestling moves. No guns.
Takedown.
Yes.
He's working out for an hour in the movie. Like, this is just James Bond working out.
Do you follow him on social media at all?
I don't.
My gosh, workout pictures I don't know how he gets his muscles to do that.
He's a maniac. He's a maniac with the workouts.
Forecast today, cloudy, breezy, temperatures a little warmer in the mid-60s. It's 44 now at DVE.
Well, speaking of someone who's a maniac with his workouts, Paul Staggerwald from the Penguins Radio Network.
What a segue.
Joining us right now. Staggy, I mean, some of those videos you post of your workouts, you're giving Rob Rossi a run for his money.
Oh, that's funny stuff. I do work out, but I take no pictures.
No, who'd ever? That's what I always think. Who'd ever want to see me working out? What's the point?
I know. Rob Ross, his pictures are classic.
I think Rob's inspirational, though. Like, that's different. I'm saying me, personally. I have no compunction to do something like that.
Nor do I.
All right. Well, Staggy, how's it going to work out for the Penguins organization? Now that,
see what you did there.
The Fenway Sports Group is more than just rumored, reported to be coming in as new ownership for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Is this ultimately a good thing for Penguins fans?
I think it is because they're a prestigious organization. I think it's a compliment to the Penguins that somebody of that ilk would be interested in buying the Pittsburgh Penguins. If you think about how far the Penguins have come since bankruptcy, Mario got the team for $100 million, and I'm not sure what the what the buying price is, although the Penguins are valued at $650 million a couple of years ago in Forbes. But it might be more than that. I don't know what the purchase price is going to be, but that's a testament to what the Penguins have done with their brand and how much they've been able to create a huge following for hockey in Pittsburgh and give a company like Fenway Sports Group the confidence that they know when they come in here they're still going to have a tremendous market to be able to sell hockey tickets to and know that there's interest here. And so that's really why I think it's a great thing for the Penguins. These guys are obviously sophisticated. There's a synergistic aspect too. When you have a company like them that, has a team in Liverpool and has the Red Sox, I mean, they have such a wide range of sponsorship potential and things like that, that they can bring in where you have, economies of scale for them. Like they can have sponsors who are sponsoring Liverpool and sponsoring the Penguins. I just think it's probably an exciting kind of place to work, when you have that much at your disposal. So I think that's really cool too.
So the first question I have as to potential things that may change, front office wise, do you think they'll shake things up, bring in their own people to make the donuts, or are they going to say, no, we like what you guys are doing?
No, they're talking about continuity. I mean, they're talking about keeping the management people in place, and relying on them here in Pittsburgh to do their thing. Why would you want to change something with the Penguins right now? I don't see any reason to. You might think that they would have to make some changes in terms of their hockey club, but, the actual team right now, because they're not playing so well. But if you evaluate the Penguins front office, it's as good as any franchise of professional sports stuff they've done. And I can tell you, Randall, from working in there and just seeing the talent of the people they have, like the stuff they do with Penn's TV and the people who creatively sell partnerships, the ideas they come up with to, be able to get people to join forces with them. I mean, it's really impressive. They have a lot of really smart people there, and that's why they're successful. And I think that's exactly why this company wants them. They're going to go looking for an army of people to replace the people that have done such a great job in Pittsburgh.
Might the new ownership have a different take on relationships with longstanding star players, big contracts here, Chris Letang, Evgeny Malkin, people that they were committed to having served their time in the NHL as lifetime Penguins? Is that now up in the air?
Well, what I think could happen is that the people who work in that capacity for the Penguins, like Ron Hextall and Brian Burke, they're going to suddenly maybe be exposed to some expertise that these guys have with analytics and things of that nature, that where they may get some advice or consultation on how to form a roster and use the salary cap to their advantage, those kinds of things. They may have some interesting ideas in that area, but I don't think that they're looking to come in and make a lot of changes in that regard, force them to make personnel changes just because, lot this guy off, he makes too much money, that kind of stuff. I just don't see them being that kind of an organization. They're gonna come in and they haven't been in hockey, so they're going to rely on the hockey experts to tell them what's best. But then they'll also be able to share with them some of the things that they do, with metrics, the analytics and stuff like that, which, really that's where baseball really made a big foray in sports, several years ago. And I think hockey's becoming more tuned to that stuff too. And these guys apparently are like really sophisticated in that area.
Steige, I've always been kind of curious as to Mario's involvement in hockey operations, because I've never really been able to nail that down, what he does and doesn't do. I know he's a guy who would be willing to send texts and give a speech to the team before Game 7. I always perceived him when he was playing as a guy who didn't care who the coach was. I don't think he's real interested in who the fifth and sixth defensemen are, but he will want his opinion heard on whether they should keep a Chris Letang or an Evgeny Malkin. Where does he stand in terms of his, let's say, day-to-day involvement, and what will his role be hockey-wise, as Mike Sullivan might say, moving forward?
I wonder if everybody in the Penguins organization will stop talking like that, because now everybody's from Boston. But I think Mario's always been sort of an arm's length from that, but he's in touch, you know, and his fingertips are touching it, but he's at arm's length. And I think what he does is he only reacts when things aren't going right. You know, he pretty much leaves things alone when things are going well, and then he'll kind of come in. Every now and then I would see Berrio, and times were tough. Berrio would suddenly show up at practice. You know, he'd be sitting there with the GM or whatever. He'd want to just kind of get us an idea of what's going on. And that's how I see him. I don't think he meddles. It's not like he calls up and gives his, you know, thoughts every day about what he wants to do or anything like that. He stays out of it. And then he gets into it when he feels like maybe with his knowledge of just the presence that he brings, if he suddenly shows up, it might, you know, kind of change the dynamic a little bit. So I think that's what he does. And I do think he does have, though, some affection and attachment to players, you know, like Letang and people like that. And I do think that he appreciates what they've done. He kind of probably channels his own, you know, persona into that, thinks about what those players are going through and what they mean to the team and what the team means to them, that kind of thing. So he can relate to what they're going through. And I think that he definitely does have an affection for him. And I don't think he's the kind of guy that easily thinks of players being traded or, you know, not re-signed, things like that. And I know a lot of people are talking about what they're going to do with Malkin and Letang, and those will not be easy decisions for Mario or for anybody else. That's just the nature of the business.
Staggy, I grew up steeped in the ownership of the Rooney family, where the legacy of their family is infused with the success of the team. Is it like that in hockey? Like, are there family members or family owners that go back to the birth of the league? And why do you think the Pens have been able to keep that continuity that you're talking about this morning with so many different owners?
Yeah, there are family members. I mean, you got the Molsons in Montreal, you got the Wirtzes in Chicago, you got Jeremy Jacobs up in Boston, who's owned the Bruins for many, many years. You have a lot of that in hockey. And I think Mario he's kind of a different version of that, but you know, he has become such a part of the fabric. He is the Pittsburgh Penguins, in my opinion, that there is a special quality to that. And I know it's what you're talking about with the Rooneys. And I think what Mario's done here in Pittsburgh with his philanthropy and the way that he's extended the Penguins brand to being such a philanthropic organization has made the Penguins maybe better than any organization in sports in that regard. I mean, he's unique in that respect. How many people have been a player than an owner? And then also taking that ownership platform and used it the way he has to do what he's done philanthropically in this market. So, you know, he's kind of part of the fabric of Pittsburgh as much as he is hockey. And that's just a unique quality that he has and a unique quality that the Penguins have. And I don't think it's going to change. There is a familial feeling to the Penguins because of Mario being involved.
Paul Stagerwall, part of the Pittsburgh Penguin Radio Network this morning on DVE. And hopefully they'll be able to rebound from whatever is going on right now. I said earlier, it's not really a free fall, but they are hitting some branches on the way down. It'd be good to hang on to one and climb back up soon.
Yeah, they got to get it together here. I thought what they did in the third period was a good thing last night. Not necessarily. You see that a lot. Teams come from behind and they get a lot of shots. The other team goes into a shell or whatever. But this was different. The Penguins looked like they were desperate last night. There was a feeling of urgency in their game in the third period that I think, you know, when you tap into that, maybe you can keep tapping into it. That's what I'm hoping the Penguins are going to do here going forward. They kind of found that level again that they have to play at to be successful.
Paul Stagerwald, thanks so much, Staggy. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me.
Mike's got your sports when we return.
See you, Staggy.
A recap of that game last night, the shoot extravaganza that resulted in an L somehow.
Finally listen to the fans. Shoot the puck.
They had the puck pretty much the entire third period. Couple exceptions.
20 shots in the third period.
Yeah.
Could not get it done. Also, the Steelers looking at a Joey Bosa-less Chargers team this Sunday night, but that's not all. Mike will give you the full details from Mike Tomlin's press conference. Mark Caboli joins us at 8:45 here. Your radio home of the Steelers.
An agent for a quote today.
DVE Sports.
Mike Pursuta's got your sports now on the DVE Morning Show. What's up, Mike?
Sports this hour brought to you by Dormont Appliance. You know, it was intriguing listening to Steige, and he talked about the Lemieux ownership era of the Penguins and the familial feeling. That's what I was kind of trying to get at last hour. He really hit the nail on the head there. But something about this gives me a feeling that now all of a sudden they've been taken over by Walmart.
You know, that might not be untrue, but is that a bad thing?
I don't know.
Wouldn't you be glad if the Pirates were taken over by a huge conglomerate that was
Walmart
successful?
Please buy the Pirates.
Yeah, yeah, that's, you know, we'll see, said the Zen Master.
Right now, the Pirates are owned by Dollar General. Be a step up.
This much we can kind of assume. Usually when there's a change in ownership in a business, there's often a trimming of the fat. And I think that's already begun with the Penguins.
I'd like to cancel the order. In fact, I've got some equipment I'd like to sell. Skate sharpener, the massage table, the jacuzzi, our bus.
Not the jacuzzi.
Our bus. Strother Martin? Is that who that actor?
I could do this all day. I could do Michelle's show. I could do Tyson's show. Just keep coming up with slapshot clips that apply to the impending, reportedly, sale of the Penguins to the Fenway Sports Group. Wall Street Journal breaking that story yesterday. Here's the other thing. With familial comes passion and caring, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
These guys are now an asset. They are clearly, if this goes through, the Fenway Sports Group is going to care more about the Boston Red Sox than it is the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Why would you think that, Mike? Because Fenway is in their name?
I kind of just do.
Well, that might be good news for the people that run the organization here. They might be laissez-faire.
Yeah, like, hey, just make us money, do whatever you want, and we're fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, it really is the big guy holding it all together, because the amount of turnover at the ownership level on this team is what, 10? I mean, it's been owned by a lot of different people.
Yeah, a lot of them failed. A lot of them failed.
You know what we should have done with Steige? Oh, man. We should have talked about the Baldwin years and just how different everything is now and what a disaster it was that Mario actually inherited. Because there's some funny stories about how just slappy everything was.
Oh, you want to go all the way back, to the early 70s. I mean,
well, they
used to get one towel and one orange.
I gotta dry myself off with this orange. I already used my towel.
Times have changed.
Hopefully,
now they get two towels.
Right. Hopefully, it'll change for the better with this.
Orange. Hey.
Tough night on the ice last night. 2-1 Sabres over the Penguins. The losing streak is 3. The overall record is now 5-6-4. It wasn't for a lack of puck possession, intensity, energy, driving the net, or shooting the puck. Pens outshot the Sabres 46-19, including 20-3 in the third period, 74-31 in attempts, and the Pens lose 2-1 anyway. They are in Montreal on Thursday night. That starts a stretch of 9-11 away from home. Mike Tomlin addressing how the Steelers could possibly take on the winless Detroit Lions and emerge with a tie against the still winless Detroit Lions last Sunday. If you paid attention to him after the game, he pretty much summed it up knee-jerk, as he put it, and attributed it to not taking care of the ball on offense and lack of fundamentals on defense. Bad tackling, a couple of fumbles in overtime. Yesterday, Tomlin added special teams to the list of areas of the operation that didn't measure up.
You know, we need more splash in our special teams. I thought they punted, 10 or 11 times in game, many of which were open grass scenarios. And if you get that number of opportunities in that phase of the game, you'd like to think that you're going to have a significant play in that phase, either a block punt or a significant return. We didn't get enough splash in special teams, and that's just an example of what I'm talking about. Just 10, 11 opportunities to get your punt return group at somebody. Usually you get an opportunity to gain some significance. We didn't. And so we got some work to do, some detailed work to do in that phase of the game to have more splash to collectively affect the outcome in our games in the ways in which we desire.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin thinks that's possible. He's not down on the players. He's not down on the special teams plan. He just thinks they can and must do better.
We like our schematics and plans. We like the core group of guys that are developing the type of cohesion that's required to have splash in that phase. And, you know, we've been into this thing now, you know, about midway of the season. I think it's reasonable to expect that to turn up and to turn up more consistently and fluidly when needed. And so that'll be a point of ours and a point that guides our work in that phase of the game as we not only go into this week, but as we push into the second half of this thing. We got core players. We got some continuity in those core players. We like our approach to business, and so it's reasonable to expect that to be an expectation.
It's reasonable to expect that to be an expectation?
That's what he said.
It's a lot of expecting.
Man, that's some verbal gymnastics.
He does enjoy that. And I got to say, I love that with doing that in the indoor facility, in the echo chamber, it just makes it sound so profound.
Mm-hmm.
Like it really matters because you get that echo going in the back.
Oh, it matters.
Today. Consider myself so.
Mark Madden will be on the show.
The guy who couldn't beat the Lions.
9:45. Mark Caboli from The Athletic when we come back from the commercial break. Here on DVE, basketball fans, celebrate the NBA's 75th anniversary season on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge. Right now, new customers can place their first bet risk-free. And if you don't win, you'll get up to $1,000 back. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. It's easy to use, you get your money quick when you win, and you can live bet after the game's already started. There's no better place to bet on the NBA than FanDuel. Already have a FanDuel Sportsbook? FanDuel is hooking all customers up with $50 when you refer a friend. Plus, your friend will get $50 too. Just invite them using your exclusive referral link, which can easily be found when you tap the refer icon. So see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign in using promo code Randy to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 and make every moment more this NBA season. That's promo code Randy. Got to be 21 or older, present in Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-8-
Your podcasts.
It's Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show, your radio home of the Pittsburgh Steelers, 102.5 DVE. Joining us right now from The Athletic, hater of Renegade and Yinzer
rabble-rouser,
Mark Caboli. Boom, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing? Hey, that Renegade actually worked on Sunday. So that was a plus.
It did work this past Sunday?
It was the series that preceded the Hayward sack that you thought should have been a safety.
Okay.
Got him the ball back at the 48-yard line.
Then what happened?
Three and out, baby.
Three and out. All right. So
Renegade can only do so much, Boom.
And Renegade worked a week before, too, on
Gets
Monday
Gets you the
night.
Ball in plus territory in a tie game.
But does Renegade really work when the kicker recovers a fumble?
Yeah, that's how much it works.
No, I don't know.
Big hit.
I don't know if I really accept that as working.
Oh, I think that's proof
the
positive.
The song was still playing.
All right, so what did we learn from last week's game that we don't want to repeat Sunday night against the Chargers should Mason Rudolph return under center, which it appears he is going to?
Well, maybe put together a game plan that actually suits Mason Rudolph's talents, and that would probably be handing the ball off to Najee Harris more than, I think at one point in that game on Sunday, and this is where Mike Tomlin didn't seem to mention yesterday, was I think the first 50 plays, I think maybe Mason Rudolph was in the 35 or so passing attempts. Yeah, you might have got the 50 because of there was five quarters being played, but it was obviously early in that game that the thought was they wanted to throw the ball more than they did run the ball, at least compared to what they did the previous 4 weeks. And who cares about the previous 4 weeks, right? It's just like it worked. So I would say a more precise plan of having Mason hand the ball off to number 22 and let him run against one of the worst rushing defenses in the league, and now they're without Joey Bosa. So I think that would be number one on my list.
But Boom, how many times can they give Harris the ball? Because the other backs clearly can't do anything with it. So it's either Harris or Jet 40? Sweep, right?
Or Mason with the scramble. But, I mean, there are sometimes I understand that you know, Najee's he's getting beat up a little, but he's running the ball a lot. You need to spell him from time to time. But there are certain games and certain situations where if you have to give him the ball the 40 times, you got to give him the ball 40 times to be able to win the game. And, you know, that series early, or at least in the second quarter, where they decide to throw three times in the 5-yard line, I don't care if there's 12 people in the box and 18 people in the box. You got to try to run the ball. When you're inside the 5-yard line, you're going to have a lot of people in the box just by definition. So I think you need to run in situations like that. But if you're especially in a situation, Travis, Sunday, where Mason was thrown to the Wolves 16 hours before, you know, the game started, hey, you're in there, you got to find a way to win. And your only way to win in your only offense, especially in that weather with limited eligibles, was to hand the ball off more than they did, especially early in their third quarter. Because if you score early in that game, make it 14-10 instead of, you know, 10-7, I think you win that game. So got to give them the ball until you get your regular people back that you can do some other things.
But boom, I mean, no matter how we look at it, and I'm with you, I want them to run the ball as much as humanly possible. He's going to have to make throws. And when he makes throws, yes, the receivers can't drop the ball or fumble it after they, you know, they catch it and run down the field. Is this a big jugs week? Like, are the receivers just on hands duty all week? Because there's no margin for error. If he's throwing the ball and it's on target, they have to be caught and held onto.
Well, I don't see much issue with catching the ball. Now, maybe hanging on to it is one thing. So they might switch from the jugs machine to the football that they have, a football filled with water. So it weighs like 20 pounds, and they just hold it so they have that sense of they always have to keep it secure. So maybe they'll be fighting over that ball this week,
or
a little bit more.
That boxing glove on the pole with the,
yes,
that they jab
that one
when they run. But just have Eddie Faulkner follow everybody around, hitting them with that boxing glove
all week.
That'll teach them.
Yeah, he might not be hitting them in the football. He might be going a little bit lower to get them to pay attention a little bit more. But, this goes with Ben, too. I mean, I think they have set their offense up in the way that if he makes 5-6 significant throws in the game, they have a good chance of winning. I mean, significant throws. I'm talking about, you know, 3rd-and-7s, red zone throws, mm-hmm, some touchdown throws. And I don't think Mason made any of those throws on Sunday at all. So I don't think you have to expect a ton out of him, but I think you do have to have those handful of plays to keep drives going to be able to score. And I don't know how much we saw that the other day from Mason. Maybe the key will be we'll be in sunny LA and he can take a stupid glove off so it doesn't get like caught in it and throws the ball, you know, a two bouncer to Ray McLeod in the end zone. I mean, there's a reason why Ben doesn't wear gloves when he throws the ball, unless it's windy, because he can grip it more, because you get things that happen to Ray McLeod. Those things are so sticky, the ball sticks to it, and all of a sudden you're throwing a couple bouncer to Ray McLeod that would have been the difference in the game.
Yeah. You know, we kind of know what happens if TJ Watt doesn't play. With Minka out, what are some of the vulnerabilities that creep up in the defense for the Steelers?
Well, the big thing, I think, is you just throw Minka out there and he can adjust to anything the other team does. Now you're going to have to rely more on the coaches, I believe, to anticipate what the other team's going to do. You don't want Carl Joseph out there when, you know, and put in position to be able to cover deep down the field. You don't want Trey Norwood in there at times when maybe they're going to run the ball a lot. So I don't know how much confidence you have in who puts the personnel out there for certain plays, if it's Butler, if it's whoever it is. But I think that's the key right there where, you know, Herbert can see who's out there. I don't know. I'm assuming he has the ability to get the offense into looks that are favorable for them. So I think that would be huge. You know, if you're seeing out there, you know, very similar to what we saw over the years at the nickel position. You know, if you have that nickel out there and you're able to get if you don't have the nickel out there and you have Spillane out there, you're able to get Jarvis Landry out there and make a big catch, Keenan Allen, that type of situation, but deeper in the backfield with the safety. So I think you're going to see three to four different potential possibilities of playing there, and I wouldn't even count out Cam Sutton moving over there from time to time on Sunday. He's just going to have to patchwork it for a week, and it's going to, I think the onus is going to come down to the coaching staff of deciding who goes in there at the correct time.
Well, I feel much better because there's no chance they'll have the wrong people out against the wrong personnel group and get badly burned because they had the wrong people out there against the wrong personnel group. That fear has been totally alleviated out of my mind. Thanks, Boom.
Yeah, yeah, you think that that might be a little bit of a key to this game a little bit. I mean, the last thing you want to see is, like, Carl Joseph, like, covering Mike Williams or something, you know? And you're like, oh, geez, this isn't going to work.
We'll find out if it does. Sunday night, Steelers, Chargers, prime time. All of the action starts 4 hours before kickoff right here on your radio home of the Black and Gold 102.5 DVE. Mark Caboli from The Athletic. Thanks, Boom, as always. Appreciate it.
All right, take it easy, guys.
We'll see you. Mark see Madden you, Mark. Joining us next hour. Val's got your news when we come back from this commercial break. Valerie, what are you going to be talking about?
Are aphrodisiacs really a thing?
This is pretty cool. DVE and Caliente Pizza and Draft House want to give you the ultimate Steelers road trip experience. Go to DVE.com now and register to win. One lucky winner and a guest will go on the road to watch the Steelers take on the Minnesota Vikings at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis on Thursday, December 9th. We'll get you round-trip airfare to and from Pittsburgh to Minneapolis. Two nights hotel, two tickets to the game, and a $100 gift card to Caliente Pizza and Draft House. That's a
you like that?
Pretty good deal. Yeah,
I
you
like
do.
That. Pizza's my aphrodisiac.
DVE.com. Go there now and get registered. Vals.
If your morning shower routine includes applying antiperspirant, you might want to change that. According to the president of the American Academy of Dermatology, antiperspirants actually are more effective when applied at night before going to bed.
I had a roommate who put antiperspirant on his feet because his feet were sweating too much at work.
That's gross.
So he was trying to get his feet to stop sweating.
Did it work?
I don't know. He had the smelliest feet. Like, the rule in our house was he had to have his shoe. Like, he couldn't take his shoes off unless it was in his room. Like, he was not allowed to walk around in socks or barefoot.
Yeah, what do you do for that?
I don't know. It was so nasty. And I was like, dude, you got to go to some kind of doctor or get them amputated.
Right. Go dangle them over a piranha pond or something.
Stick them in bleach for a day.
Randy Bellman and the DVE Morning Show.
Val, when you opened the door to his room, it smelled like Penn Max cheese room on a hot day.
Just get him like five pet eggs. Like, dude, you got a lot of dead foot. It smells like dead foot in here. You got to trim that up.
You used to go to one of those like goldfish ponds where they just eat all the dead skin off your feet. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
That actually, that would probably be refreshing.
Oh, I don't
let
know
fish
about
eat all
that.
The dead skin off your feet.
All the fish die. Like,
they all just belly up and they're just floating.
You so can't ever go to that pond again.
Anyways, killed all the feet fish. What do you got going on over there?
7 minutes after 9 at DVE, here's the Channel 11 Severe Weather Center.
On Severe Weather Center 11.
47 degrees at DVE. The news is brought to us by Window Nation. Well, the Christmas tree at Point State Park will be lit up again this year. A small lighting ceremony is planned for tomorrow at 6 p.m. Duquesne Light announced last year it would not illuminate the tree moving forward. However, a group of citizens launched a petition drive and gathered more than 10,000 signatures to bring the tree back. So expect to see that for the holidays.
Yeah, light up night this weekend. I'm going to be doing the Beatles performance. Jesse Prentice has put together like 20 different musicians are going to take part in this. Like, I think it's like an hour long set of Beatles, but the last like 40 minutes is all Abbey Road.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, nice. So I'm really excited to do that. It's 6:30 on the stage on Stanwyck Street.
So it'll be completely dark by then. That's good.
Oh, pitch black for 2 hours.
I mean, it's crazy.
Leaders in the Woodland Hills School District are making plans for a gun buyback initiative. Superintendent James Harris on Tuesday announced a recent donation to the district will make the effort a reality without the need to use tax dollars. Harris says that the more firearms they can get off the streets, the more pressure will be taken off of students. The buyback event is expected to happen just after the Thanksgiving holiday.
You know how it could really work is if James Harrison was part of it, and he just started knocking on doors like, you want to sell me your guns back? Like, I'll sell you all my guns. How much do you want? I'll pay you. What?
A majority of adults are worried about experiencing another pandemic. A new poll by Morning Consult found that 70% of American adults were concerned about another pandemic happening during their lifetime. Vaccinated individuals who responded to the survey were more concerned than unvaccinated counterparts. Morning Consult noted that $10 billion of the nearly $2 trillion social spending plan would be set aside to prepare for future pandemics. However, just 47% of people polled think the U.S. would be ready to face another thing like COVID-19. If you're looking for a cheap breakfast, McDonald's is throwing the price of one of its most iconic items way, way back for a day. The Egg McMuffin is turning 50, with the company selling it at its original price of 63 cents during breakfast hours tomorrow. So that's 6 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Offered exclusively, though, on the McDonald's app, the fast food giant is encouraging customers to buy more food in order to customize the sandwich, such as using hash browns as muffins instead. Well, that's not very original.
No.
I mean, it's original, but it's not original to the Egg McMuffin.
It's a lot of grease.
It was created in 1971 by California franchisee Herb Peterson, and McDonald's took the sandwich nationwide in 1975.
It's a good sandwich. I mean, breakfast sandwiches, my favorite. I mean, it's a go-to for breakfast. It's just, it's all right there.
Well, you get one tomorrow for 63 cents.
I'm in.
I don't, a bargain.
I think it's actually like not that many calories also.
Yeah, I think if you get it with the Canadian bacon, is that what they
say? Yeah.
That's like the lowest calorie one you can get.
It's like 150 calories or something like that. It's not bad at all. They're delicious. That's the gold standard of breakfast sandwiches.
They've been doing breakfast better than anybody for a long, long time.
You've probably heard that certain foods... I don't know about the Egg McMuffin, but oysters and dark chocolate throw your libido into overdrive.
Whoa.
How much of that is fact and how much is just in your head? A lot of foods that are considered aphrodisiacs have health benefits that can help your sex life. For example, oysters contain zinc, which helps regulate testosterone. The antioxidants in dark chocolate can improve blood flow, and chili peppers can get your heart racing, but... realistically, none of these foods are going to take you from 0 to 100 all by themselves. Registered dietitian Bonnie Tob Dix says, in terms of immediate benefit, I think it might be mind over matter.
What does Bonnie do?
So what?
What's her name?
She says the power of suggestion could be stronger than the chemicals that are even within the food.
Like, why are you so riled up? So I just got done listening to Californication. No, not those kind of chili peppers. I don't think they really... I don't know. Some about it.
They have a new album coming out with John Frusciante. First one since Californication.
Nice.
For anybody that cares. I think Val's one of those people. You have a Red Hot Chili Peppers tattoo, right?
Oh, yeah. A couple. Yeah,
huge fan.
Yeah, a couple. On her neck.
Yeah. A Michigan woman who tried to whack her husband last year by renting a hitman online has pleaded guilty to charges that could land her in jail for 9 years. Wendy Wine was surfing the web and landed on the parody website, rentahitman.com.
But come on.
She thought it was real and tried to reserve a murder for hire. She filled out a service request form and provided instructions for murdering her husband. She had agreed to pay $5,000, including an upfront payment to cover travel expenses because her husband lives in Tennessee. The website's administrator felt the woman was not at all joking and contacted police. So an undercover cop met up with her in a parking lot where she presented him with her payment. The officer arrested her. She's been charged with murder, solicitation, and using a computer to commit a crime. She's also not the only one they caught trying to rent a hitman online. There have been more than a dozen other people who have been caught with this website.
Again, most criminals don't get caught because of the crime. They get caught because of how dumb they are.
The guys that came up with that website were like, this was funny until it proved to be a lucrative business strategy.
Who would you call? Like, if you were the proprietor of that website, like, would you call the FBI?
Well,
would you call local police?
He called his local police, so.
I don't know.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that on the internet. I mean, if you're going to try to have your husband killed, you really need to go door to door. Ask around, word of mouth type stuff. Not rentahitman.com.
I like rent, too. It's like, well, someone else is using him right
now.
Not
to own.
No. Former Kiss guitarist Ace Frehley has declared himself a believer in a QAnon-generated conspiracy theory that links the tragedy at Travis Scott's Astroworld Festival in Houston with a satanic ritual. He wrote on his Facebook page, sending out prayers to the families of the victims. He then continued, seems like it was a satanic ritual gone very wrong. There'll be hell to pay for everyone who let those kids die. All people of every faith and religion should band together to stop this from ever happening again in America. God bless.
He did a lot of drugs and drank a whole lot back in the day. It may be the case that Ace is not dealing with a full deck.
The other Aces are missing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Satanic ritual? Like, he thinks this is a religious issue?
Apparently he does.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. Last time I saw him, he looked like, what was her name? She dated Martin Scorsese for a while. I don't know why. This concussion is really screwing my brain up. Mm. But at any rate. He looks like an actress, like a famous actress, and I cannot think of her name.
Poor. Me either. I don't know who you're referring.
Remember, we were showing pictures of him in the studio that one day. Never mind. It doesn't matter. He'll never get back in Kiss now.
Finally, Chrissy Hynde and Cyndi Lauper are among the celebrities who've contributed essays to My Moment, 106 Women on Fighting for Themselves, a book dedicated to female empowerment. It's slated for publication on April 26th.
Is it Lena Douglas?
Yes, Ileana Douglas.
Forecast today, clouds, some sun, breezy, temperatures in the mid-60s. It's 49 at DVE.
All right, on the way for you, Mark Madden is going to be joining us here on the DVE Morning Show, 9:45. I'm sure he'll have plenty to say about the Penguin situation. Ownership.
Does he like it?
Changing, reportedly, the Fenway Sports Group. The number one comment I've seen from most people is, I wish someone would come and buy the Pirates. And we hear that all the time. There's always this wish from Pirate fans that someone's going to just come save the Pirates.
But somebody who cares...
I got news for you. That guy is making so much money, he doesn't care if they keep losing. Why would he give that up?
He doesn't even live here, probably, does he? I wouldn't.
he doesn't have to. I mean,
I wouldn't be going to Giant Eagle if I was him.
The franchise is worth over $1 billion now. You know, that's the thing. These guys get so much public money thrown at them, the stadium. Mm-hmm. Basically, here you go. And they talk about the need to get all of this public funding and help so that they can run the organization in a way that will make them competitive, and then they don't do anything to keep them competitive.
Well, remember when they said, oh, we need the ticket sales to go up.
Yes.
We need you to come support your team, and then we'll spend some money. And then they had record ticket sales, and they broke that team up.
Yes. Payroll went down, and the ticket prices went up. So nobody's going to come in and save the Pirates. That's just not going to happen. It's profitable. Why would that guy give it up? Because you want him to? He doesn't care. Now, the Penguin situation, much different. Mario has just been waiting to get paid for a long time, and this makes sense for a lot of reasons right now.
Mario got a check that was postmarked like 20 years. Hey, don't cash this until 2021, all right?
Not yet. Wait. And some people are making something out of the fact that LeBron James is going to be a part of that ownership.
Like, I just want to see him in the suite drinking wine with the big guy. Who won't look that big?
I know they say Mario's going to be a minority owner. I can't imagine he's going to be around too often. You think he wants to go see them play Calgary on a Tuesday night in February? He's going to be down at West Palm Dolphin. Rick Cepak. No. Mm-mm. We'll hear what Madden has to say about that coming up. Steelers Chargers Sunday night football. We're going to be staying up late once again for Mason Rudolph and company.
Is it going to be Mason?
They're preparing as if it's Mason. I don't know how much lead time Ben needs. Like, if he's cleared on Saturday, does he play on Sunday?
I mean, I'd play him.
I'd play him if he cleared 5 o'clock on Sunday.
Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. We start our pregame at 4:30 with Tim Benz, Rob King, and Dale Lally, leading up to the Steelers Network pregame with Mike Pursuta, Jerry Dulac, and Bob Labriola at 6:20 p.m. Very specific times here. Bill Hillgrove, Craig Wolfley, Missy Matthews, Max Starks take over for that 8:20 kickoff. Val, the folks at Netflix are now starting to release their top shows on a weekly basis. Now, the issue I have with this, how do we know they're telling the truth?
That is true.
Those numbers aren't public.
Yeah, they separate their lists by English language and non-English. This is a list of the top shows compiled, consolidated into both. The top show, Squid Game, 1.6 billion hours viewed.
It's pretty good.
For Squid Game. Bridgerton, 600.
Show is good, Bill.
Yeah. Yeah, that show is good. Saying. It's dark. I mean, I wouldn't recommend watching it before you go to bed.
Bridgerton, 625 million.
Didn't get into it.
Me either. You watched it, Randy, didn't you?
I watched half of an episode, and it was so dumb.
Oh.
But then we talked about the idea of it being a much better idea if it was Bridge Villerton.
Yes, that's right.
Relatable. That's like, right. Localize it.
Had they done that, the viewing hours would have gone through the roof. The third one is Money Heist Part 4. I didn't even.
What is it?
I don't know. I remember making fun of the name Money Heist. Like, there's, you know, why do you have to specify what kind of heist it is? It's like baby kidnapping. I mean, I kind of get the idea just from kidnapping. Yeah. Stranger Things 3, 582 million.
It's a great show.
Boy, I'm going to have to go back and watch it because I don't remember anything from it. I know I watched it.
You remember the Upside Down and
I know all that, but like, what's his name died and maybe he didn't. The guy with the mustache.
Spoiler alert.
The cop.
Yeah, that guy.
Spoiler alert. The Witcher is number 5 with 541 million. I don't even know what it is. 13 Reasons Why Season 2.
I think it's about a witch.
And then 13 Seasons Why, Season 1. Kids love that one. Number 8, Val, you were talking about this one yesterday. Maid.
Yeah, that's a good one. I watched that.
469 million.
Again.
Everything's depressing. And then You, yeah, Season 3, and You, Season 2, round out the top 10. For movies, I'll give you the top 5 in movies. Number 5, Six Underground, 205 million hours viewed. I don't know what that is.
Never heard of
the
it.
The Kissing Never Booth 2.
Two? I didn't see The Kissing Booth 1. And I think there's a prequel, The Hugging Booth.
Eventually, they got around to kissing. The Hugging Booth is weird.
It's really weird.
Yeah, that's what we call the confessional in my church. The number 3 is The Irishman, 215 million.
Wow.
I didn't watch
Viewing
it.
Hours,
you
or that's how long
terrible.
It is. Just one person watched it.
It was interminably long.
It's so bad. And remember, like, just like if you think about that movie, one scene stands out. The Robert De Niro.
Oh, the fight scene.
Foot bath scene where he's trying to act like he's kicking really fast, but he's very old.
It just looks like an old man trying to step on an ant.
Yeah.
It's bad. Colin Quinn says, he's like, they left everything in The Irishman. They even put in, like, checking in the motels. We don't need to see that part. Number 2 is Extraction, 231 million hours viewed.
Is that about a dentist?
I don't know. I didn't see Extraction. And number 1, Bird Box, 282 million hours viewed.
Is that the one with, What's the
Sandra Bullock?
Yeah,
Bullock.
I was gonna say,
and the blindfold,
the actress from Speed.
We're all concussed.
That's where my brain damage is.
We're all concussed this morning. So Netflix, I am looking forward to seeing the Michael Che Comedy Hour. Shame the Devil, it's called.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Netflix, Tiger King Part 2 starts today.
What?
Or whatever it's called.
I'm going to try to not watch 1 minute of that.
Isn't it Tiger Queen now? Hasn't Carol frickin' Baskin stepped over the grave of the Tiger King? She owns that place now, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I just don't have any.
I think they shut it down.
I did watch the first couple episodes they released of the Paul Rudd, Will Ferrell show, The Shrink Next Door.
Is that Apple?
Yeah, it's on Apple. It is definitely not a comedy. It is weird. It's based on a real popular podcast. And it's basically about some shrink that, you know, finds this vulnerable guy who's got a lot of money, and he completely manipulates him. And it's a true story that happened back in the 80s. The biggest problem with it.
It's not a comedy.
Well, it's not a comedy, and you want to see those guys in your comedy roles, and they're both very good. But they both start out doing these wicked New York accents, and they just give up on them halfway through the first episode.
Oh, no.
So they're doing like really exaggerated.
I'm talking over here.
No, not like that. More like Long Island, you know? They're doing that. They're doing they sound like the Jerky Boys talking to each other almost, you know? And then they just bail on it. They're like, we can't keep this up. There's no way we're going to be able to do this. So that part's kind of weird. But it's still, it's an interesting story.
Yeah, but I don't want to watch a comedy with Anthony Hopkins and Benedict Cumberbatch.
Paul Rudd was just named the world's sexiest man at age 52 and change. He is the same age as Wilford Brimley was in Cocoon.
Of course.
Think about that.
It's unbelievable.
And, of course, he's going to be in the new...
He hit the Wilford Brimley line.
Yeah, he did. The new Ghostbusters movie, which is coming out.
The Afterlife.
Yes. Yeah. And the OGs, original Ghostbusters, were on Seth Meyers the other night. Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd.
I saw that.
And, Ernie...
Banks.
Hudson. No, let's not play two. That's Hudson. Thank you,
Hudson.
Harold Ramis, of course, passed away. But I was glad to see Bill Murray out promoting this. It actually surprised me.
That's cool.
It is pretty cool.
He does whatever he wants. He's Bill Murray. I know. He usually just shows up to people's weddings and eats their sandwiches and then leaves.
Yeah. He made Dan Aykroyd get up and dance to a drum solo.
Oh, really? Yeah.
He's like, I think Dan should get up and dance to a drum solo right now. And so Aykroyd obliged. I don't know if that movie's going to be any good, but
I feel like good. Aykroyd hasn't been around or funny for years.
I don't know.
Like, he owned this nightclub out in L.A. that I used to go to a couple of times, and
would he hang out there?
Creepy, yeah.
Well, he started selling that vodka.
Is he still married to Donna Dixon?
He is. He is. They've got a bunch of kids, very happily married.
Oh.
But he's the only one that talks to Chevy Chase, apparently.
That should tell you right there.
Chevy's down to just talking to Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, man.
Chevy said his heart was broken because he asked Lorne Michaels if he could come back and host SNL, and he gave him the Heisman. He was like, no way. And in a related note, Lorne Michaels is 77 years old today.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
Well, that is crazy to think that, like, the cutting-edge comedy show on television is being helmed by a guy who's 77 years old. When I was a kid, 77 was you needed to be driven everywhere.
Right, right. And he looks younger than Wilford Brimley did when he was in Cocoon.
To take this full circle. All right, Mike's got your sports when we come back. Mark Madden.
DVE Sports.
Okay, Mike Rosita with your sports now on the DVE Morning Show.
Sports this hour brought to you by your neighborhood Ford store. The anticipated fallout from the sale of the Penguins to the Fenway Sports Group is all the Penn scouts are going to be fired. So will Brian Burke and Ron Hextall. New owner John Henry is going to hire Billy Beane this time, damn it. And the Pens are going all analytics all the time.
But in their minds, it's threatening the game. But really what it's threatening is their livelihood. It's threatening their jobs. It's threatening the way that they do things. And every time that happens, whether it's a government or a way of doing business or whatever it is, the people who are holding the reins, they have their hands on the switch, they go bat crazy. I mean, anybody who's not tearing their team down right now and rebuilding it using your model, they're dinosaurs. They'll be sitting on their ass on the sofa in October watching the Boston Red Sox win the World Series.
It's your new owner, John Henry, kids.
Uh-oh. It's
Arliss Howard portraying him in Moneyball. But that's the guy.
That is the guy.
He's the guy.
How involved will they be? And is it a good thing or a bad thing as to the level of their involvement, the Fenway Sports Group, if the Wall Street Journal's report, in fact, comes to fruition, which why would you not think it would? Do they just say, hey, this is a good thing? It's producing. Leave it well enough alone and just reap the benefits? Or do they want to all of a sudden be hockey owners and, you know, John Henry and the people under him and get neck deep in it? And will they know what they're doing if they do?
Yeah, I'm hoping they don't cross the streams and go out and get a home run hitter and a Formula One race car.
Is there a Theo Epstein of the hockey world that's just floating out there right now?
Oh, I have no idea.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, who are they going to bring in that's going to fundamentally change things or overrule?
Will it be a cold corporate, Letang's not worth it anymore, get him out of here? Or will it be, hey, you guys have been doing fine, keep doing what you're doing, we'll check back after the playoffs are over?
We'll see.
We shall see. But
we'll see, said the wise man.
Really interesting development. And, you know, the game is changing here in Pittsburgh. I don't think anybody's got a handle on how it's going to change, but it's not going to be the old, as Steige said, familial ownership group, and the face of which was the all-time icon of the franchise.
You know, it's interesting, and Joe Bartnick pointed this out on the Puck Off podcast. When the Penguins' sellout streak stopped, we were there that night, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That was sort of an indicator of things that were happening across the league. There were a couple of other sellout streaks that also came to an end. As they came out of the pandemic, these teams really needed to recoup a lot of losses. But there is a huge percentage of the public that's still uncomfortable in those big gatherings. That's a bit of a problem. But the one thing he said that I think that made the most money or the most sense was, it's just so damn expensive. It's really expensive to go to a hockey game.
It is.
And there's a lot of them.
And there's a lot of options. And maybe people got a little used to not going to hockey games.
Yes. And they spent a year on their couch.
And it's awful early.
And they bought big TVs.
Yeah.
It is awful early in the season. So
interesting school of thought there.
You know, it's easier than ever for people to stay home and watch sports. And you have more reasons. You have more reasons than you've ever had before. So when this new ownership comes in, I mean, are they thinking, let's get people back in here by raising the prices? That's not going to work. Right? You got to figure out a way to make it more affordable for people so they can go to a game and it's not a $150 per person experience. Yeah.
So you're not spending $3,000 just for the right to spend $5,000 on the playoffs.
Exactly.
You need Bunyak-friendly prices. Have that place be rowdy again. That's the other thing.
It's funny you bring that up because I've gone the other way. I grew up going to events.
Mm-hmm.
And I've even, you know, working in the sports industry, when I was off, I would go to events.
Right.
And I'm trying to go to everything I can this fall. Like, I'm going out of my way to go to stuff. Because I missed it.
Yes.
Me too.
I totally understand that. And I think you're in a minority that is very vocal. You know what I mean?
I'm starting to think you're right about that.
The people that want to get back and go to a bunch of stuff, they're super excited about it. But I don't know that they outnumber the other side.
Oh, if I didn't have connections with tickets and stuff and a way to cut the cost down, there's no way I would be able to take my kids in a group to the game. It's too expensive.
Watching the Steelers game this weekend, they are advertising, go to Steelers.com for tickets.
There was a lot of yellow seats at that game. There were a lot of yellow seats.
What was the final attendance on that one?
57,
yeah,
I think.
High 50s.
I wrote it down somewhere. But, I mean, and I know Heinz Field's always a little deceptive because so many people stand in the rotunda, but there weren't, the rotundas weren't crowded either. So it wasn't that. I think it was crappy day.
Crappy team.
Ben Roethlisberger's not playing. Yeah. Detroit's here, not Baltimore.
Perfect storm.
Yeah. Stay tuned. Penguins gave it their all to impress the new bosses last night. Still lost to the Sabres 2-1. Man, they had the puck the entire third period, or so it seemed. Outshot Buffalo 20-3 in the third, 46-19 for the game. Out-attempted the Sabres 74-31, but Buffalo gets a 2-0 lead in the second period, and the best the Penguins could do to cut into that was Jake Gensel's fifth of the year at 5:59 of the third. That was on the power play, so that snapped an 0-for-28 streak with the man advantage, and Sidney Crosby got his first point of the season, an assist on that Gensel power play goal. In three games this year, Crosby has one assist, he's minus six, and he's got 5 shots on goal.
All right, let's talk to Mark Madden about that when we come back here. That's next on the DV. It's the DVE Morning Show. Our next guest brought to you by PA1 Call Bet Rivers. It's our friend Mark Madden from 105.9 The X, our brother station. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning, everybody.
Well, Mark, morning, the Mark. First thing, obviously, on everyone's mind, I want to ask you about recently, Richard Nicholson of Connellsville caught an 18-pound, 1-ounce walleye, breaking the 41-year-old state record of 17 pounds, 9 ounces. Do you think that record will now be the 56-game hitting streak of walleye?
You kind of caught me off guard. This is breaking news in my book. I heard the walleye had COVID.
Oh, is that what it was? He just floated
to
the top?
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't denigrate the record. Maybe made him a bit sluggish and more easy to catch. See, I like the way Ken Stabler used to fish, the former Oakland Raiders quarterback.
Okay.
He would he lived down at the Redneck Riviera in Jacksonville, and he would go out on the water with a car battery and a mattress frame. And they would lower the mattress frame into the water hooked up to the car battery, turn on the connection, and then the fish would be stunned and float up to the top of the water, and he'd scoop them up with a net. Now, to me, that's fishing.
Yeah, you know.
Catch a lot of them that way.
PETA might have a problem with that, but, you know, they're persnickety.
You know what? The Stablers weren't rich, and neither were the people he gave the fish to, so PETA can, as usual, go sit on a snow cone. If people are hungry, they got to eat.
Yeah, and the benefit of that is they come up cooked. So,
at least a little tenderized.
Yeah, at least. All right, the Penguins news with the Fenway Sports Group reportedly closing in on purchasing the majority shares of the Penguins anyways. Mario reported to keep a minority stake in the team. Is this something that makes you nervous or ultimately a good thing for the franchise?
Well, I saw Mario last night. We chatted briefly. He seems happy with the whole thing. And why wouldn't he be? He's making a monster profit, but I think it's important he stays involved, and I think he will be actively involved. And I think it's the best-case scenario. You're getting bought by Fenway Sports Group, which has a lot of money and wants to win, as they've proven with the Boston Red Sox and my beloved Liverpool Football Club. It's now one-stop shopping, everything under one roof for the super genius, and I love it. But, again, if I could pick somebody to buy the Penguins for Mario and Ron Burkle, it'd be Fenway Sports Group. I just don't see any potential downside whatsoever.
What about for the long-standing relationships they have, not with front office, but players, where there were relationships that were relied upon, Mario contending that, you know, Chris Letang is going to retire a Penguin? Do you think those kind of things are now all in play?
I don't remember Mario saying that about Tanger, but they're not going to...
No, he never said that publicly. That was the sort of intimation that we got, you know, prognosticators were saying, like, no, he's the guy that he's making sure he understands how important it is to keep these guys with the team long term.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think FSG would ever trade Sidney Crosby, although the disclaimer there is if he would ask. But I don't think he's going to do that. Sid's way too passive-aggressive to do that. And I've always thought he thinks of himself like Yzerman or Mario as, you know, one team, one guy. In terms of Malkin and Letang, they're definitely gone. I mean, you know, they can get a lot more money in free agency, And when's the last time a player really gave a hometown discount? That's not going to happen in this case. So I'm not sure that FSG buying the team affects the futures of Letang and or Malkin one way or the other. I think there's a slight chance they re-sign Letang because, honestly, he's a lot tougher to replace than Malkin, especially not knowing what Malkin's going to be coming off surgery. But on the flip side of that coin, Randy, FSG is based on global branding and star power, and it would not shock me if they try to find a way to bring a named star to the Penguins via trade or free agency in the not-too-distant future. That's how they operate their team. So, you know, if the Steeler fans can fantasize about Aaron Rodgers coming to Pittsburgh, I can dream about Austin Matthews coming to Pittsburgh, because if you look at Colorado, Edmonton, and Toronto, one of them better start to win soon. They all can't start to win soon. And if they don't start to win soon, they're going to be some disgruntled superstars who want out, much like Jack Eichel in Buffalo.
Well, Mark, if the first move is to trade Letang and Malkin to Boston for a couple of Dunkin' Donuts coffees, we'll know it's a fishier than the boat that that walleye was caught in.
Yeah, I'm not sure I get that joke, but I just think this is a best-case scenario. I know, like, already people say, they're going to move the team. I mean, people just look for bad stuff to happen with the Penguins, even as the Steelers are just awful.
I believe they can't move it for 7 years.
That's right. They're not going to move it anyway. They didn't just buy the Penguins. They bought the Pittsburgh market. I seriously doubt that the new ownership group is going to say, you know what, this team just had 633 straight sellouts. We need to move it somewhere else.
Now, I know you're anxious to talk about how terrible the Steelers are, but what's going on with the Penguins?
Oh, they're not too good either.
Okay. Sidney Crosby, still struggling, got on the score sheet last night at least.
Oh, did he get a point? I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what I just read.
I have to revise my monologue. Okay.
Second assist on the power play goal that snapped the 0 for 28.
Yeah, but, you know, he's had COVID. He's had wrist surgery. He's coming back off a lot. I mean, the standings don't care about any of that. But, you know, you got to be fair to Sid. I mean, he'll get going. Believe me. He's not the guy I'm worried about. Like, I look at Carter, Rust, and Zucker, who are playing really well. They're playing really good all-around hockey, and they can't get on the score sheet. You know, and that stuff like that can trend with players like that, you know, who aren't necessarily – well, I mean, Rusty's had a good last couple of years, but Carter's near the end of the line. Zucker's never been a guy who filled the net. You know, guys like that got to get going, and of course Sid has to get going.
Yeah, they got some looks last night, didn't they? I mean, the group.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what else happens, though, too? A lot of times when you're struggling to score goals, and boy, whoever thought we'd be talking about the Penguins struggling to score goals. But, you know, you get a breakaway, and it's Teddy Bluger. I mean, no knock on Teddy Bluger. You wish it wasn't Teddy Bluger. You wish it was, well, maybe not Zucker, Carter, or Rust right now, but you get my drift. The good chances fell to the wrong guys last night.
Steelers headed to Los Angeles to take on the Chargers. Steelers likely without Ben Roethlisberger, definitely without Minka. Chargers without Bosa, and who's the other one there?
John Terry.
All right, so.
Any chance Derwin James has got the sniffles?
It looks a whole lot like this is a lopsided game in favor of the Chargers, just given the personnel. But
I'm sorry, Jerry Tillery.
The way things have been going in the NFL, Mark, it does seem like it's an anything's possible league right now. That's got to benefit the Steelers, given their inconsistencies, right?
Yeah, the only way to pretend the Steelers are a good football team or a playoff team is to play the anything-could-happen card.
Yeah, well, I don't think anybody's saying they're good. That's exactly the opposite of what I just said.
I didn't say you did, but they're not good, and probably aren't even with everybody there very good. They beat a bunch of crappy teams by narrow scores. They just tied
the Bills were
an 8 team, which is inexcusable. But, you know, people keep clinging to the notion, well, the AFC North, look at Baltimore lost to Miami, and Cleveland got killed by New England. Well, then, okay, I'm chalking up 3 wins. You're going to beat Baltimore twice and Cleveland again, probably beat Cincinnati too. No problem. I mean, I keep getting told there's no problem, so I'm going to go with, hey, there's no problem.
Great. Well, Sunday night should be a whole lot of fun. Well, the good news is if they get blown out, we don't have to stay up to midnight to watch it.
Well, we need them to stay in the playoff picture till the last week at the very least. That is what's best for business. So that's what I'm rooting for at the very least. And, hey, I wish things were going better for them. It really is best for business. But let me tell you, and it's cliche to do, and I'm going to talk about this a lot on my program, Matt Cannon sucks. he's clueless. I know it's cliche to blame the offensive coordinator, and we do that here in Pittsburgh because we know the head coach will never get fired, even though he has long since passed his sell-by date. But I mean, how do you figure you run six jet sweeps against Chicago and it works flawlessly? It was the best part of their running attack. And then you play Detroit, don't run them at all, and the backup quarterback throws the ball 50 times in the rain. The offense has no identity. It's haphazard. The guy keeps outsmarting himself. But that shouldn't be surprising. You look at his pedigree and his resume, he does not have the qualifications to be an offensive coordinator in the National Football League, and we see that all the time every week.
Well, I don't disagree with you. And I tell you what doesn't help matters in terms of PR is that when he gives those coordinator press conferences, he comes off like arrogant, like, you guys don't know what a genius I actually am. Instead of saying, yeah, well, you know, well, we need to do some things better, and we need to figure out what the strengths of this football team are. He kind of has this, yeah, don't worry about it. I know what I'm doing kind of attitude.
Well, I do that for 3 hours every day.
Yeah, but that's, you know, your shtick. You know, that's not.
I'm a super genius. It's legitimate. Now, you're right. I mean, I can't stand him. I can't stand the offense. I mean, and Tomlin said, you know, they didn't run the ball at all on first and goal from the five, which was insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
Agreed.
And Tomlin said afterwards that they had their, you know, front, they had six guys up front. They didn't want to, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, I remember when we used to orgasm over Zach Banner reporting as tackle eligible. Okay, if they're going to go big, you go big. Banner at tackle eligible, Gentry at tight end, even Derek Watt at fullback if you want. I mean, just run the ball. I mean, play to your strength, because this past Sunday especially, with Claypool out and Ben out, Najee Harris was your number one offensive threat, and instead you're trying to win the game with Ray friggin' McCloud.
Here, here.
Not even going to the tight ends.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Mark Madden, our brother station, 105.9 The X. Listen to him 3 to 6 each afternoon.
Can I get a plug in?
Sure.
Today was the debut of the Ric Flair Woo Nation Uncensored podcast.
Oh, boy. How excited are you for this?
Well, I'll be excited when we complete it every week. It's going to be great stuff. The logistics, it's going to be great stuff. Anyway, but listen to this. Before we had even put anything up, before anything could be listened to, the number one wrestling podcast in America based on advanced downloads. Number one.
Wow. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Well, I'd like to get paid for it sooner or later, and I hope I will. I think I will.
Wait, is there no pay agreement intact here, Mark? Are you?
No, there is. I just haven't got the money yet.
Oh, well, Ric Flair doesn't strike me as
that. No, believe me, this was a long process to get started. I am overjoyed. We're underway. The first episode was fantastic, and it's going to get better and better.
Mark, I also understand that on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness.
So I got that going for me.
Mark Madden, 105.9 The X. Thanks, Mark. There you go. Maybe if they pay you, you can buy a new phone.
I think he left.
That thing sucks.
It really does.
How does this? What is that? Is he using a soup can?
I think he's just yelling in it.
We got to get him a. We got to get him a.
Using a
cower filter on that thing.
And it's got to be held out like at an arm's length.
There you go.
It's ironic because he always admonishes his callers when they call on a crappy phone.
Does he really?
And then he hangs up on them.
All right. Well, that definitely is.
Your phone sucks. Get out of here.
I don't know. How do you not find it funny when he berates callers? I think it's the funniest thing in the world.
It's tremendous.
Thanks to Mark. Thanks to Mark Caboli and Paul Steigerwald. Tomorrow's show is jam-packed. We've got Merrill Hodge. We've got PFT Commenter. By the way, they've got Kenny Pickett on their podcast today on Pardon My Take, if you want to check that out.
Click it for Pickett.
Wow.
Also, Missy Matthews will be joining us. Comedian Sebastian Maniscalco tomorrow.
Whoa.
And our buddy, heart recipient Huffy, with a Marvel movie review for you.
Is Sebastian in town anytime
soon? He's coming up in December.
December 2nd.
Weeks, I think, yeah.
Wow.
Maybe that's not 3 weeks. That's 2 weeks. So we'll talk to Sebastian tomorrow here on the program. Michelle's got your electric lunch coming up next. Have a great day, everybody.
I'm finished. You stay classy, Pittsburgh.
Don't touch your face.
I got him dead, Pittsburgh, all day, baby.
So now you guys call me Ronald.
Would you not eat my pants?
Ronald.
Ah!
always say, ah, at the end of the ride.